Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
I wouldn't get one more of that.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on the radio?
Oh, dear. Yes, you are.
Could I just suggest to your California listeners that since the polls are still open,
polls are open?
Yes, for the governor of California, that they vote for Don Geronimo, especially if they're using the punch card ballot. They should stick their dipstick in Don Geronimo's hole.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, and we all here thank you for that.
Can I just say one more thing?
I'm not sure, but okay.
I just want to say, f*** Lisa Remedy. She's not that hot.
Oh, now, stop. Stop.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Why did you do that? I mean, no, come on, be real for a second. Explain yourself. Can you?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
What?
I mean, you behaved so badly just now. You know, come on. Well, guy to guy, come on. Why? Why?
I must be drunk.
No. You don't get off that easy, pal. You're not drunk. Now, why did you do it? Come on. What guy thing made you do that?
Farfalotus of the blowhole.
No, that's not it either. Come on. You know, what is it?
Swollen taint.
Oh, jeez. You know.
Hairy nipples?
No, that won't do it either. That won't do it. Thank you for sharing.
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most poppies in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know to fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
And here you go. There you go. Your Boston Red Sox.
Hello, boys. Hello.
Hi, Pedro.
Are.
Manny, hi, all the rest.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Beware!
Hey, look, it's Johnny Damon.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Happy Land Jolly Club and all the chips at sea. They love to lacrosse. Don Geronimo and Mike, Wild America!
Thank you, Robbie. Hi, thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Friday. And it's Rocktober 17er. National show, really. Syndicator, Westwood One.
Right.
Stop that. That's not funny. They don't find that funny.
No, they
don't. I don't either. We say Westwood One. And we get that thing. The phone number, 877-365-3636. We don't give it out often. We don't trust a lot of you to call.
No, we don't.
But if you're listening right now, for whatever reason, we blindly trust you. 877-365-3636. The number from anywhere in America, coast to coast. In Canada, call 800, that's Rob. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
I'm Don and Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Hello, Bill.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, yeah. What happened?
Shut up!
Did you wash the ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
We're going on some music here. Give me a second before we get to the most obvious topic of the day.
Yeah.
Also, this note, WWF heads, or excuse me.
Oh, bad.
What? WWE. My mistake. It's
John Cena will be here in about a half an hour.
Is he a big strapping wrestler person?
He's fighting Kurt Angle. We've had Kurt Angle on the phone.
Kurt Angle is a very good guest. All wrestling guests are good guests.
WWE will be in Baltimore this weekend with No Mercy. And, you know, we have these wrestlers on the show, and I watch SmackDown, and I like following it. I might actually buy, this is like a not paid for ad, I might buy the WWE No Mercy Sunday night in Baltimore, because it has the first ever father-daughter I Quit match.
Yes. That's man, right. That's got to rock.
I've heard about Stephanie it. McMahon versus Mr. McMahon.
Yeah.
Father versus daughter. I might have to go there.
That would be the big head of the WWE, right?
Yeah,
Vince McMahon.
That's right. I might have to go there.
And Daddy's little girl.
He's all pumped up too, right?
One thing before we get to, and we're going to get the reaction here from Mike. I just wanted to throw this in because I think the rest of this will just be about the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I got to deal with it. My first thought after the game was over was, you know, I got to come in here and talk about it.
Well, we're all coming to work today, and I don't know what route you guys take. I make a right down there, left at the McDonald's, a right, mm-hmm. leaving or left, coming to the station, and you go past neighborhoods, and if you go up there by the courthouse, there's neighborhoods, there are signs. Apparently, there's an election.
In Fairfax here, yes.
And if you look on the homes that surround the radio station, people have those signs in front of their homes.
Yeah, for like supervisors and board of ed people and all that.
I've seen these signs most of the week, and there's a lot of them today. I'm not a resident of Fairfax, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Don't know anything about the election, but I just want to say I would never vote for a guy named Chap Peterson.
Now you know what you've done. You've done now. Now all of Chap's, Chap will have to be able to come in here and make a statement now that you have said that.
Chap.
You have basically done an endorsement.
This is not like the Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, I'm saying I'm not into it. There is no way.
We'll see now.
I could vote for a guy.
But you haven't met the other guy.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter to me what he's running for.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me his qualifications. He might be the best guy for the job. I don't even know what the job is.
Is there a chance that he's running for manager of the Boston Red Sox?
No. City Council.
But his
I
name is
support him
Chap.
Enthusiastically.
His name is Chap.
Yes. He's a nice chap. He came to my door. Met Chap.
You met Chap?
Yeah, he came to my door.
Listen to my voice.
Door-to-door campaign. We had a big game last night.
Yeah, you met Chap.
Yeah, came to my front door, knocked on the door, said, "Hi, I'm Chap Peterson."
Okay, so with the handicap,
you're the guy
with the handicap of the name Chap.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm guessing that it's got to be the given name. That it's
you
not like,
vote, are you gonna vote for Chap?
I guess.
Listen, I like his stick. His, but come on, Chap.
Yeah,
Chap is like, hi.
That poor guy.
This is Chap Peterson.
Hello, my name is Chap.
This is Chap.
Vote for me.
This is Chap Peterson. So anyway, that's all I had for you. Okay, 5 outs away from the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I had said yesterday that no matter what, I was going to feel great about, you know, how far they went. That doesn't change. I also said the only thing, I said I didn't want to have the big, heartbreaking kind of loss. Well, they didn't let me down.
Of course not.
They didn't let me down. They effed us all.
Mike, don't give up on us, baby. Don't give up.
I'm going to cry.
We got another one?
Man, it's a tradition, isn't it?
This is better. I like this one better. Effers. So I'm not mad at the team.
Mike and the Red Sox.
Why do you, my trusted friend?
Can't get mad at the team. We have a new scapegoat. Seems every 10 years or so we get a new one. We have a new one now.
And that is?
That would be Grady Little.
And he is Stewart's brother? I know. He's the manager.
He would be the dumbass manager of the Boston Red Sox.
And the reason they lost the game was?
Well, you don't know that. You know, you can't say that if he did this, if he didn't do this.
Well, no, but you just said he's the scapegoat. What did he do?
Scapegoat. He left Pedro in the game when they should have brought relief pitchers in there. Pedro was tired. I got a new fact when I read the paper
Rob,
today.
This song is way too, I'm sorry, this song is way too happy to be a Mike is Depressed song.
What are you looking for?
Send in the clowns. Yeah, I like that one.
I'm not looking for Seasons in the Sun.
No.
I mean, I kind of was with you on the Starsky and Hutch thing.
This is more of a tone.
No, it's
and
not,
hey,
it's
folks.
Not, it's not sad enough.
Let's just stop and think
not
for
bummed,
a second.
It's not bummed out enough.
How come no radio station plays this?
Give up on
God. I can't imagine why.
Dave's... Dave Soul.
Chap Peterson loves this song.
Your man. Your man, Chap. Dave Soul. I don't know if he was Starsky or if he was Hutch.
Right.
Oh, hold on. You're going to get some of this today.
Yeah, I got to take it.
Hello, Gil, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mike if he was sitting in his lucky chair.
No, I was out with friends, and maybe I should have been in my lucky chair.
Mm. There you go. That's right.
They won. They did win every game when I was sitting in that chair. So,
Hello.
I was also alone when that was happening.
Don and Mike Show.
I needed moral support last night.
Hello? Tony.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
First off, I would like to say fire Greedy Little. And second off...
You know, I got to give it a day before I go that far.
Second off, leaving Pedro in too long...
Right.
He pulled Veritek for a pinch runner, which didn't pay off, and then it left Doug Mirabelli to strike out.
Guys, listen, as someone... Thank you for your call. As someone who, you know, I know the rules of baseball and follow it and stuff, but
right.
Someone who went to sleep last night... With the Red Sox winning,
right,
4-1, because I was sure it was one. Mm-hmm. It was a one game when I got up this morning.
Now tell the truth about your reaction, Mister. I'm rooting for the Red Sox. tell everybody your reaction that you had. The biggest lie ever told that you were rooting for the Red Sox.
Well,
liar, liar, liar. Yeah, but you were honest at least up in the office to tell me that.
It was.
Nobody gets more pleasure out of my pain than you do, and I love you for that. Man. I really do.
She's not there. She would verify it. A baby.
Yes, my sweetheart.
Okay, very quickly, because I want to move on with Mike and get his real impressions of the game. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I fell asleep last night in the eighth inning with the Sox ahead 4-1. Sure that they had the game won.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure that
right.
they had won. I got it this morning. I come.
If you've watched any of the postseason, though, that's not a good idea. I mean, they're all like this.
Well, I come downstairs and Frida says to me first thing that she never talks about sports with me. She said, "You should have seen the end of that game." And I thought
you should have seen. I don't know if I'm letting out a secret, but my husband danced a jig when he saw the paper.
Oh, right, right. For all the for all those times you were saying you were rooting for the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah.
I want that on the public record.
Fabricator.
That was a private moment with my family that I don't think has to be brought.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not know you did not want that. Your glee. You did that like Joker laugh.
I think there's a part of you that knows it'll be highly entertaining if they lose as opposed to if they win.
Yeah.
You know, if they win, I come in and I go, yay, rah, rah. Nobody, you know. I mean, now it's just the whole thing about it continues. And as Don said to me in the office, very hard for me to believe this right now, but maybe he's right, that maybe part of me actually is happy because that's just what it's all about.
It's what you want.
Being a Red Sox
over
fan.
For you.
Yeah. Now it continues.
Last night I was sitting there and this little thought creeped into my head late in the game, probably before the eighth inning. I said, well, we'll be able to put that whole curse thing to rest and bingo, bango, bingo. But I still, and I would not want to be Grady Little in Boston today. I really wouldn't. I have no
this curse thing.
Effing idea.
When will
you guys
really seriously drop this curse thing?
I don't
because it's,
have the
it's
curse
not
thing.
Babe Ruth having pushed a piano out of a window or whatever.
let me explain.
So really, that's like the curse that he got mad.
No, the curse.
He pushed a piano, right?
The curse is something that's designed for Yankee fans to bust our balls. That's all it is. I wanted it to go away so they couldn't say that anymore.
Wow.
And that's what I. That's it. You know, that's just like saying having any like catch phrase or catch line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody that believes in the curse is an idiot. I think that what it is, it's just a complete way that the Yankee fans bust the chops of Red Sox fans. That's all that is.
But I'm just calling Frida here so she can give you my honest reaction.
So he did a little dance, huh, Frida?
He did the dance and the Joker laugh.
He
had a green suit with question marks all over it.
I was so shocked. I said, you are... Assing me.
Well, you went to bed because you didn't want to watch the Red Sox joy, and then you...
No, here's the thing. Frida will tell you this. I'm regular. I have a nice BM in the morning. I usually have a second one, you know, just the remnants of stuff that didn't get out the first time.
Thanks for sharing.
Mid-morning.
Right.
I go to bed every night.
11
o'clock is it for me. I mean, 11 o'clock, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock for me is... You know, appetizers.
Afternoon.
So if it had been a close game, like if, on Monday Night Football...
Maybe it might account for the reason your voice sounds the way it sounds and mine sounds the way it sounds.
On Monday Night Football, if it's a good game, I often stay up and watch. But if it's a blowout, I do the same thing. 11 o'clock, I go to bed. I went to sleep thinking Red Sox had won.
Yeah.
So imagine, I come downstairs, she says, oh, no, you missed the greatest ending to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to go turn on ESPN.
Right.
I got to go turn it on.
Now you got your Cubs and you got your Red Sox.
Yeah.
They both completely lived up to it. But I can't say that because you know what? I really don't fault the guys that played. I thought that the guys played their hearts out, and I thought they did a great job. So it's not of the magnitude that the Bill Buckner thing or the Bucky Dent.
That.
It really isn't because, I mean, those were both, like, surprise things that players did. This was just a game. I mean, when it went to extra innings, I said, you know, the Yankees advantage Yankees. They have a good chance any team
in extra
innings.
Let's all please get ready for America's love with our pastime. Let's get ready for that relationship
to end.
To totally end.
Oh, my God. That's gone.
You know,
no one will watch the World
Series. For the last 2 weeks.
Stop messing up friends. You know, there are women in the world that don't care about this.
Oh, you know, last night, even as I was watching the game, I'll tell you.
I don't think even if the Red Sox had gone to the World Series that you'd get the same kind of interest that, you know, if the Cubs had been there, it would have been a different story.
At 9 o'clock, the Red Sox were up 2-0. So I turned on CBS.
Right.
To see CSI, because I figure, you know, like I've said before, my opinion, baseball's a slow game. I can watch CSI, go back, see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm watching it for a second, and you get that weird thing like, this is kind of like an episode I might have seen a while ago.
Right.
And then I finally figure out when it's the lady that's dead up in the high school bleachers, and then someone's moved her body. I go, hey, wait, hold on, this is a rerun.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Everybody else gave up last night.
Yeah, because they knew the ratings would be, and the rating. I guess you've gotten the ratings. And, I mean, they must be amazing.
Like, and now for the people at Fox Broadcasting, good luck.
The Fox guys were definitely angry when the Cubs lost and angry when the Red Sox lost.
Absolutely. All right, baby, thank you for that wonderful recreation.
Welcome. We're very sorry for you, Mike.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're very sorry.
Yeah, I believe that.
We am.
And as a family unit, we are. Bart, I throw in Bart's feelings as well on that.
Yeah,
because he's home this weekend.
There is no joy in our family.
Right, none whatsoever. I'm aware. Well, thank all of you.
All right, I love you. I'll see you tonight, baby. All right. Bye-bye. So
another year, but I mean, hell of a...
Are you angry? Are you sad?
Sad, yeah. Sad, very sad. That's I'm very, very sad. That's about. I'm worn out. I'm worn to a frazzle. But with all that managing and whatever, and you know what, I also think I got to think about that for a couple of days because you know you're going to be calling for Grady Little's head and say, you know, fire the guy. You weren't on the mound talking. You don't know what the deal is. I mean, but you got to say this. You got to say it was a great baseball year, and my prediction came true. I won my bet. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy that they did what they did, but nothing has changed. I really still think the Yankees have one of the best teams in baseball, and they're still. Everybody was talking about the fact that they weren't what they once were.
All right, now anybody who had in the pool, and we had a pool before the show.
Would you have anger or sadness?
What Mike would we get today?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked with everybody individually.
Mm-hmm.
Would we get angry Mike? Would we get philosophical Mike?
There's anger very, very close to the surface here.
Would we get Mike being, I don't want to say politically correct, but like saying the stuff about the Yankees being a great team?
Right.
There were the three different choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I predicted the one that we're getting now, just the laid back,
down,
sad.
Mm-hmm. Very, very sad.
Rob, you predicted...
Philosophical with anger to emerge in character during Jeopardy.
Rob might still be right. I think I'm philosophical. I think I'm being philosophical about it. But it's I am. Don't make me. Don't get me wrong. I am pissed off at Grady.
I had sad also, and I think that's.
And I'm a little
right
pissed.
Now. That's on the money.
I want to make it really clear for all my fellow Red Sox fans out there. I am a little bit pissed off also at the manager. I want to read everything about it. Mm-hmm.
Find
out, you know, get all the details and find out why the F he made that move when in all the other games that they had won. He did it differently. I don't get it. You know what it looks like? It looks like the pampered superstar was able to manage the team. And if that's the case, then you send the guys out of town.
Where is Pedro from?
Dominican Republic.
Okay. All I know is, snapshot from me, just a break in here.
Yes.
Snapshot from me.
Right.
At one point last night when I turned on the game, I saw they had close-ups of the two players that were in action, the pitcher and the hitter. And it was a guy from the Dominican Republic throwing to a Japanese guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I just had to stop for a second and say, what the hell channel am I watching? All right, now back to whatever you were saying.
Very good. I think I'm out, and I know that you could tweak me up and work me, and I appreciate you not working me so far today. I know, because it's right underneath, and I haven't let it out yet. I'm really pissed off.
Did you enjoy, like, the first part of the game, say the first seven innings? I mean, did you even enjoy it?
No.
Hold on, let's talk to the head.
You can't.
Let's talk to the head shave guy.
I mean, I get up and I'm like, you know, you high-five your buddies and your other Red Sox fans, but it's like you enjoy it if you get to the ninth inning and the game's over and you win it. That's when you enjoy it.
Hello, head shave guy.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, brother.
This is a guy who... Let me tell you, going into the eighth inning, I called my babysitter to watch my kids so I could drive to Fairfax.
Now, this sure looked like that, didn't
it? This is the guy who said he would be down here today to have Mike shave his head.
And I meant every word of it. My family was going to be listening.
Oh, well, I'm glad you would have honored your bet. And, you know, you gotta love it if you're a Yankee fan. My God.
When Forrest Gump walked out to the mound.
They are great. You got to admit that. The Yankees are great.
They were lucky last night.
Now he's trying to work me a little bit.
I'm not working him. Just take a look. Back.
Well, you know what you did? You know what you did with my Yankee fan friends do?
What's that?
You said it, and then you had the little effing smirk on your face, too.
No smirk here.
Yeah, there it is.
Mike, the team's smirk. The teams battled, and you said it. I didn't. The Yankees are a better team. The Yankees won. The best team won.
Best team won. I agree with that. You can't argue with that. I would have liked to, and I think when you talk about the best team, you talk about the manager also. And Joe Torre.
And if I could
Joe Torre is one of the best in baseball.
I could quote one of my mentors, Nelly.
Forrest Gump, though. That's funny, calling Gary Little Forrest Gump.
What does it take to be number one?
Right.
Two is not a player. And nobody remembers number three.
Right.
What does it take to be number one? I just love quoting Nelly whenever I can.
That's very good. It's very, very deep.
The Yankees would be number one. What Nelly is saying is, what does it take to be number one? It doesn't matter if you're number two or number three.
You know, I'm really glad I reminded him that he hadn't tweaked me a little bit. You know, that he hadn't
tweaked
me a little bit.
No, I'm not tweaking you, Mike. I'm just, whatever vibe you give out, I'll follow up on. The vibe you're giving out is, your team got beat by a better team.
No, I mean, if you count the manager, I think so. I mean, I really think that, you know, one of our teammates, and that's Grady Little, the manager, you know, has kind of screwed things up, unfortunately.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, listen, I grew up in Boston. I live down here. I'm a huge Sox fan. I'm physically depressed.
I am physically depressed. Wow.
And but I got to say, I can't say it was Grady's fault. I mean, you got Pedro on the mound. He's the best friggin' pitcher in the game. And, you know, you got to go with what got you there. There was, you know, it was... No holds barred. You got to take it to the max. And
all right, now respond.
I would agree with you, except I read an article in the Washington Post today that is really basically an article from Thomas Boswell in the Post that talks about Grady Little's mistake.
And the headline said mistake.
It says, Destiny gets a big assist from Grady Little. Yeah. And,
mistake showing up at ballpark.
And it says here,
the better team won.
I don't know. I just think, you know, he went out.
Oh, no, listen, Mike said it for all of you Red Sox fans.
I just want to read you this, okay? It says, Little, as much as any manager in many years.
Because Mike so often quotes Thomas Boswell on this show.
He said he lost, and I didn't know this until I came in, lost the wrong way. The last nine New York hitters to face Martinez had three singles, three doubles, and a home run. That's a .777 batting average.
Wow. All I know is...
And a 1.444 slugging percentage.
When you have just lost,
Pedro was losing it, and he left him in, and it was I think a bad move by the manager.
When your team has just lost to admittedly what you say is the best team in baseball, no better way.
Best team in baseball will win the World Series. I don't know whether that's the Marlins or
the best team.
I don't know whether that's the Marlins
night.
Or the Yankees. I think the Marlins are a lot better than people give them credit for.
But regardless, okay. So when you make the statement that the best team on the field last night won, the best team won. No better way to back up that sentiment. Then go to a writer in a newspaper.
What do you mean?
That's pathetic.
What's pathetic?
That's pathetic. That to back up...
No, you're just talking about the stats and stuff, and I thought they were interesting statistics that showed how Pedro was losing it, and like managers know that. There's a guy that's feeding him that information, and why you don't make a move on that, I don't get it.
So Tom Boswell...
He crystallized what I was already thinking.
Mm. Gotcha.
I hate to give credit. You know I'm down when I am reading out of the Washington Post. You know that I'm...
That's kind of the point that I was making.
Well, I'm, you know, as that guy that called...
That's sad.
Physically, well, I am sad today, for Christ's sake. I'm as sad as I can get.
Hello,
very down.
Don and Mike show.
Hello.
I could tell you times you've been sadder if you want to feel better.
I think I've probably been sadder. I've had, you know, moments.
Oh, I know you.
Sure. Marriages.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So come on. Put it in perspective.
No, it might be sadder than that.
You didn't... No, wait.
No.
You didn't have any money riding on this game, did you?
No. No, God, I don't bet on the Red Sox ever.
It's an emotional investment.
It's totally emotional.
There is
no need for any wagering when they're except for our friendly bet every year, which we have for next year too. And I said they're going back to the World Series, not going back. They're going back to the postseason.
Hello.
But the bet is that they're going to
win the East.
They'll win the East. We'll go a notch more next year.
That was your call. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Mike.
Yes.
You know, did you see Derek Jeter last night talking to Aaron Boone?
No, I didn't. I was kind of like distracted, probably.
Oh, I know this. That allegedly, what he said to him was, and this will be
the ghosts are coming.
No, I read that. I read that also. That's BS.
And, you know, that's a bunch of crap.
Total crap.
Derek Jeter goes up to this guy who's hit like .180 or something
all year.
And says, you know, because the pressure's on. The ghosts are with you.
But I'll tell you, Derek Jeter is...
Yeah, that's like Field of Dreams, okay? Hello, Derek Jeter!
You're not going to hear me diss Derek Jeter, though. I mean, of all those guys, he is Mr. Clutch. Absolutely Mr. Clutch. So, what are you going to do? Oh. It's sad. It's a drag.
Derek Jeter is Mr. Clutch, and who does he play for?
He plays for the New York Yankees,
though. And Derek Jeter is?
Is what?
Say it, would you?
I'm not saying it again. I won't play that game with you. I'm not going to repeat what I just said. I said it once. He's a clutch player.
And the Yankees, how would you rate them right now?
Now stop it.
How would you rate the New York Yankees?
I want you to stop. You know, all that you said to me about rooting for the Red Sox.
I meant it.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
You lied.
Mike, it was the show part of my brain that was thinking, not the real part.
I'm catching you in a lie.
No, you're
when
not.
When you do a jig in front of your wife when she enlightens you about that.
Because then I know.
We have always rooted against each other's favorite teams. It is natural as breathing.
Here is why I did
you and
the
I have
jig.
Been competitive brothers for 20 years.
Here is why there was jiggery. There was jiggery.
Watch that word. What's that mean? That sounds like something back in the 1800s.
I was getting jiggy with it. The reason that I was jigging,
right?
The reason that there was jiggery was because I was sure as I went to bed the night before that you, in fact, were the winner.
Yeah.
That you were going to be happy.
Yes, and then you were so disappointed when you found out I was disappointed that you decided to dance.
Here's the thing.
To dance.
You've got a right side of the brain and a left side of the brain.
That's right.
The right side of the brain is real life. The left side of the brain is show.
When you talk like this, I remind myself just what a skilled conjurer you are.
They could hire me to be the manager of the Boston Red Sox.
You could do a better effing job than the guy that was in there, that's for sure. You would have taken him out after the seventh inning.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
Because you'd be singing a different tune if he had struck out the side. Then you take him out in the ninth.
And that's interesting you bring that up because that's another reason why you say, hey, you can second guess all day long. But if he strikes out the side, then he goes down in history as, you know, it was an amazingly unorthodox move and you're a hero, but, you know, what I don't get is like it was one guy after the other and he just sat on his ass.
Yeah.
I don't, it made no sense. It was almost like, I mean, it was so bad a managerial move, you just said, well, what is happening? And that's where I hate to sound like a moron, but I'm like, what forces, like, pinned Grady Little to the bench? What the F was it?
And then you got
the
good shot of Pedro with his sweatshirt over his head with a quarter-sized hole in him looking out of it.
So you don't think that maybe...
There are lots of different takes on this, too, that it might have been, you know, you don't hear what the guys are saying to each other. So you hear, you know, I've heard today Pedro was such an egomaniac that he insisted on staying in the game and Grady bought it. You know, who knows? I don't know what was between them. Who knows whether that was true or not, you know? I don't know. It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks being a Red Sox fan.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Today.
Hello.
But it'll be great in March.
Don and Mike, hello.
When I go back down to spring training.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Mike, I'm so disappointed right alongside you, but we have to admit that Don was right. The least watered-down team won.
Thank you. I'm not afraid to make the tough stands on this show.
With all my depression and my sadness about the Red Sox, it makes me almost laugh when you hear a woman's tone like this.
Yeah.
You know, it is a baseball game. I think we have to remind ourselves about that. It is just a baseball
game. Hi, Don and Mike show.
And yet we suffer.
Hello.
Mike.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, all I want to say is 5 months till spring training, and we're going to do it again.
Right on, baby. Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Mike, the Red Sox are number one in my book all the time.
Me too.
But no, listen. That's fine, but go with what Mike said. Go with what your number one sports book said on the show. The Yankees are a better team.
The better team won.
That's true, and hopefully they'll lose.
Oh, no, that's mean.
What's mean?
That's mean.
I do that to callers all the time.
Right.
Cut them off all the time. Uh-huh. Hello, Don and Mike.
You're behaving like a Yankee fan today. Cutting off.
Showing class? Looking like you've been there before because you have been there before?
Oh, God.
I'm just going on what you said.
No, you're not.
The Yankees
are
the better team.
No, you're not. That is another conjure. That is another prognostic.
The Yankees are a better team.
That is another magic trick. That is another illusion.
All right, then let's just drop all the charade. I'll tell you exactly what I'm trying to do. I really was happy this morning because I thought we'd get the payoff. This has been a year-long soap opera, and the payoff that at least...
But I would be up on top of the building throwing myself off.
Something like that.
This is all you're getting.
You've come in like you're like someone shot you a tranquilizer dart.
I'm sorry.
You have half a voice.
I'm sorry.
You're laying back in your chair. And
yes.
You're just,
what do you want from
you're
me?
You're accepting the medicine.
What the hell do you want from me?
Put up a fight. Put up your dukes.
We're back. We're coming back next year.
Now, and I don't mean to me, and I don't mean to our audience. I mean to the Yankees.
What do you mean?
What is this? They're the better team. They won the game. Hey, my friend, deep right here in the heart of Red Sox Nation, they still suck D.
Why are you pointing to your... They do suck D.
See?
There you go.
There you go.
That's what he
wants. I hate those efforts. I will be rooting my ass off for the Florida Marlins.
All right, let's go Marlins.
Yeah, that's all true. All that true, too. But you know what?
What?
Better team won.
Oh, man. No, we now have all these sad songs on one CD just labeled Mike. We just burned about 10 songs on the CD, these real bad, sad songs.
In a little while from now, I'm not feeling any less sound.
We pull it out if he's had a bad weekend.
You know what you talk about that part of me that's sappy right now?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right about that, because there's this strange part.
Should seem smiling.
When I come in here right now, like talking here has actually made me feel better.
Pressure's off.
Because I'm really thinking that, you know... It's just the quest. The quest continues again. The one guy that saw another idiot writer, and now I'm going to say idiot writers. That'll make you feel better.
Unlike before when you were quoting Thomas Boswell like he's God.
It might be the same thing, Thomas Boswell, that said, if there are any Red Sox fans left. That's the biggest mistake. Ooh. Anybody that says that last night's game is going to drive Red Sox fans away is full of crap.
Heresy.
Red Sox fans do not die. We never say die.
Oh, yes,
ever.
They do.
Ever.
They do die.
Well, they die of old age.
They do, that's what I mean. And they're the nutty,
they die of old age.
They're the nutty ones that have the, you know, well, my grandma says she's only going to, she'll die after the Red Sox win a World Series.
What's great is to get a call from an 83-year-old woman in Connecticut this morning, and the first words out of her mouth is, what the hell was Grady Little doing last night? That's great. That's what it is to be a Red Sox fan.
And that woman would be...
That's my mom.
I didn't know if it was when you were dating.
No.
I knew it was your mom.
That was mumsy.
I knew it was your mom. So we're not...
So I'm sorry I didn't give you what you wanted. You're not going to get it. You know what? You know what? I am an experienced... I'm very, very experienced in how to deal with these situations with the Red Sox. I've gone through it an awful lot. And, you know, you just deal with it. You deal with it because it happens.
All right.
It seems to always happen.
Then we'll break. We do have...
I'm sorry, Don. I'm sorry I didn't give you more.
WWE guy. No, I'll give you something maybe get you riled up. Just anti-Yankee thing. Just something, and again, it's my observation. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the one that's screw loose. But something Regis Philbin did on his television show today in relation to the Yankees winning.
Oh, God.
That I just thought belonged on the Maury Povich show.
Really?
I really did. It was just
pathetic.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about it in a second. We'll be right back, everybody.
This
Bye.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
Percodan is addictive. I'm in London doing Royal Command Performance. And I have a bookie who takes my bets for horse races in London.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I told him my problem, that England doesn't have what I need, and I'm running out.
It's Jerry Lewis.
He said, it's okay, I'll get a bloke for you.
Same thing.
Okay. He tells me that if I go to Green's Delicatessen in Soho at midnight after my show, a man will come over to me and bring me 10 Percodan. He said, just bring cash. I said, fine. He brought me 10. I gave him $1,000. I had the 10 Percodan that only took me through three quarters of the next day.
Good deal.
That's how bad it was. I'm getting in terrible trouble now because the Percodan's not even working.
Thank you. All right, well, anyway. Rush Limbaugh or Jerry Lewis, you decide.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. How you like this, huh? Okay. That would be the fat lady singing, Mike.
I like this. You know, just symbolizes this to me.
What?
We will be back.
They're guys, Don and Mike.
All right, so here's the thing that I saw on the Regis show that just rubbed me the wrong freaking way. Now, Regis is...
What did he do?
He's a Yankees fan.
Right.
And I think he's like in the Billy Crystal realm of Yankees fans.
Yeah, where he puts the hat on and the whole
goes
thing.
Down to spring training and goes up there and sucks at the various orifices of George Steinbrenner. And he starts a TV show today, the Regis and Kelly Show, which I watch. Mm-hmm. And I watch it because, really, having seen this today, even with what I'm going to say about him, he's pretty good. He's 73. He's almost Buzz's age.
Right.
And he does get it done. He gets on TV and does, I like the first 20 minutes
right.
of the show. I turn it off when the dumb guest like Tim Allen come on. But
yeah, they have the worst interview segment on television.
I like him just talking with her. You right. know, kind of like, I like what when we do that.
Freewheeling.
That's all we do the whole time, just talk. So he's got this Yankees thing, and he's showing pictures of him at the game, and look, there's Morley Safer, or whoever it is on 60 Minutes that's not dead. And,
right.
And look, there's George Steinbrenner. And then he says... And there's a guy I've gotten to know, and I want to bring him out right now. And I'm thinking, now, who could this be? It's either got to be an old-time friend of his, or it's got to be someone who's recently played on the Yankees.
Well, right, no. Right.
He's playing the cripple card. The screen opened, the thing, the blinds open, and out from behind the screen comes the kid who's got the Forrest Gump type
braces
right. on his arms.
Oh, he's got the crutches that are supported on the forearm.
Right. Right. He's got one leg. He's wearing a Yankee jersey. They come out, they sit him down. Turns out the kid's about 11. It's quite obvious that the leg is not the only thing that this young man is.
Kid's got some issues medically.
He's got some issues. So they're sitting there, and Regis is propping him up like a ventriloquist dummy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he's got this kid saying, "Wow, that was a great game, huh?" And the kid would just answer yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly is saying, she's trying to divert this conversation. I think she realizes that...
Is it appearing a little awkward?
Yeah, she says...
kind of naked in its obvious,
so then she's
exploitation.
She says, "Tell me something, Johnny Deez," or whatever his name is. "Tell me something, Johnny Deez. Do I look like I'm 20 years old or 25 years old?" Because she's, doing that vanity thing with the audience that she thinks is going to go over for her.
Oh, my God.
The kid doesn't have an answer.
Gotcha.
And Regis then looks...
You look closer to 41, ma'am.
gives her a look like, "Knock it off," and he says, "So what did you think about last night, huh? Little Johnny Deez, what did you think?" And the kid takes a moment and says, "They won. The guy hit a home run." Now, the kid was not illiterate. The kid could speak.
Right.
And... on the one or two occasions where this kid actually did get out two sentences in a row, it was just so patronizing. The Regis is patronizing. "Hey, that's great, pal." Mm-hmm. And I this was on TiVo, so I wrote it down. I went back to get the transcript. At the very end of this, after it's gone terribly awkwardly,
right.
It's a kid with one leg who's got who knows what problems, and I don't know why his parents aren't out there with him, but it's like Regis is his adopted, and the story that he tells is that what Regis says is that one day this kid is outside Yankee Stadium, and he has a ball that's been signed by a couple of Yankees, like Mickey Mantle or some other guy, and he wants Phil Rizzuto's autograph. And somebody from the Yankees organization comes down and says, "We'll get you that autograph. You come right upstairs to this office." And it turns out, of course, that big-hearted individual is George Steinbrenner. Who now invites the kid with one leg to come in and sit in his box with all the celebrities to watch all of the games.
Right.
but I'll at least give George Steinbrenner credit. I've not seen George Steinbrenner parade the kid out.
Exactly. But Regis is doing that.
So Regis is doing this and saying, what an amazing thing. This could only happen in New York with the Yankees, where, you know, you come up to the stadium to get your ball signed, and now every time I'm up there with the Trumpster, every time I'm up there with Don Hewitt from 60 Minutes.
All the good people.
You're there with me. You're there with me. And then he says at one point, the kid, he says, or Kelly says, did you have a hot dog last night? And,
oh, God.
And the kid says, takes him a couple of seconds. He goes, no. And it was
no,
just,
we had pheasant.
It was awkward and awful. And then at the very end, Regis has got the guy, this little guy on his lap, and he leans over and he says, I just want to tell you something. Like the New York Yankees, here's what I want to say to you. Never give up. Do you hear me, Johnny Deans? Never give up. And never quit. And the little kid looks up, and now this was verbatim. He says, never quit. The kid looks up and says, okay. And Regis says, I love you too. And leans down lays one on his head, and then says, all right, now you get up there and you go ahead, and, you know, pushes him off his lap.
And then
the kid gets in his braces, and, you know, it's the little kid with one leg walking away, and
right,
the whole thing was
very disturbing.
It was just the oogiest, but
very, very disturbing.
But the best part was, now you never quit. Do you hear me? Okay, I love you too. You know,
like he was expecting the I love you from the
right. I listened, I T-voted.
I love you, Regis.
The little kid who apparently has met Regis Philbin a couple of times. And
must be awfully scary for the kid.
Nice for Regis Philbin to do that. Here's the thing, and we brought this up with disc jockeys who do charitable things. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do charitable stuff, just don't parade it to people as the fact that you've done charitable stuff.
It is always, we have always agreed on this philosophy that it carries a lot more weight if you're going to do some good if you don't do it with the idea that you're going to get credit for it.
So,
not why you do it.
You see a kid, a challenged kid, mm-hmm. challenged in a couple of ways, up in this fancy box every week. Well, you treat the kid nice.
Right.
You know, you bring them a present from your TV show. You know,
absolutely.
And they never made the point of saying that this kid was in some kind of a foster home or living in a. They identified him as Johnny Deez. You know,
Johnny Deez.
And I'm guessing the parent Rick Deez and you know, Ellen Kay. I'm not sure who the parents are, but I imagine that the parents were backstage watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, I was watching, saying, "How could you watch? You know, how could you watch your own kid mm-hmm. go out on TV?" And it's obvious he didn't understand, right. you know, that he's going on Regis' show. And he's not Regis' buddy.
No.
Regis just saw him, and, you know, maybe in his own Regis way, he was nice to the kid.
Well, it's also that brief time commitment that they have, you know, it's just like, come out for your 5 minutes.
And you have to know how this
now,
went.
Now, you know, get him out of here.
That somebody says to Regis, if he doesn't initiate it himself, somebody says, hey, who am I to say, but you know what would be great? You get little Johnny D's on your show.
Mm-hmm.
We give him one of those oversized Yankee jerseys. He gives you that, oh, Regis, look. You bring him out. It's the, you know, it's the crippled kid. But look at him. He's got the strength to come out with the braces. Mm-hmm. And you treat him like a normal little kid. And, mm-hmm. wow, people will just love you, Regis.
Yeah. Hey, this will be good.
Oh,
you look
Buzz.
Like a real good guy.
Gilman's idea.
Buzz, we heard that.
You
or,
did.
Or
you
or
heard
perhaps,
it you saw it.
No, I heard it. Maybe it's the way that the headphones are set up again.
Oh, that could be it.
Because
a little longer?
Yeah. I just heard Buzz with a major loogie.
Did you bring up some sputum?
Yeah, the last of my cold is leaving my body today.
There you go.
So there he goes. There he is.
That.
Little Buzz D's.
Yeah.
Thank you, Buzz.
You never give up, Buzz.
You. Never give up.
Okay.
I love you too. I love you too, Buzz. I love you too. Yuck.
Wow.
I wish I had taped it. I TiVo'd it, and then I thought, well, I could just explain it better than playing the tape.
And it ties into the whole Yankee thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The good guys. Good guys. Yes, sir.
It does. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, did you see last night or this morning when Reed was talking to the little kid what little Ricky D said to him?
No, I mean, I did see it. I TiVo'd it. Tell me what part, and I'd be glad to share the memory with you.
Well, when he went down or kind of knelt down and was talking to him, he says, ooh! Are there times you could have fresh breath, Regis?
He's doing a Rick Dees. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, I was paralyzed there
my
for a moment.
God.
Wondering exactly what to do if I should get the number off caller ID.
That's like when a pitcher throws you one of those backdoor sliders. We got the jelly knees.
Like one of those,
we got the jelly knees.
Like one of those American League champion New York Yankees throw something at you.
You got
the other guy, the drunk guy, David Wells.
You didn't need to say that.
You're American League champions. The Red Sox have not lost an American League championship since 1980.
Yeah.
That would be, this, by my calculation, 23 seasons of excellence. Now, it appears you're giving me the finger in a roundabout way.
No, I was actually adjusting my microphone.
Now, they've not won it every year. Gosh, who can? But
right.
They sure have come close.
I think it's wonderful.
And I don't know nothing about baseball. I'm just going on what Mike told me.
Right.
Mike
you
is
know plenty,
a big
mister.
Baseball fan. Mike
said, ladies and gentlemen, that's another conjure. He knows everything. He knows baseball as well as anybody.
No, I don't. All I know
He knows him, the baseball. Do not be distracted by these feats of magic.
So how would you classify the game? Well, the Yankees are the better team. Derek Jeter's the better player. You said that. I'm just quoting you.
Well, I mean it. They won. They're the better team won. And they go on to the World Series.
They do.
Don't cut me off like a caller.
I can't cut you off like a caller because you're right here, right in the same room with me. Hello, Don Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
What?
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, listen, you guys, I got two quick questions. Did you know that they kicked off on 105.7 Bill? On Bill and Thrill?
What?
No, run that by us again, please.
Live 105.7 in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Just talking before you, they kicked off Bill from the Bill and Thrill show.
That's the guys you like, right?
Yeah, well, it happens. I mean, did they replace him with another Bill?
Not another Bill, some other dude.
That's what I meant, just a generic. Yeah, it happens.
Bingo.
Here's the thing with radio, and I thought that those guys sounded good on their show on Live 105.
Exactly.
But the deal is sometimes, and I'm not sure if it's the case with these guys, but I'll use a Baltimore example that we all know about. Don O'Brien and
So you're thinking these guys didn't get
Brian
along.
Wilson.
Is that what
Don O'Brien, yeah.
It's one of two things. Either their show is getting no ratings, and I don't think it wasn't getting any ratings, because I think that Live 105 is the most popular station in Baltimore.
There you go.
I mean, the numbers have been up throughout the day on Live 105. Or it just could be that the two guys hate each other. It's very rare to find two disc jockeys who work together and do a show.
Because in order to make a show successful, you have to have a competitiveness, which Don and I have, that you might have been hearing today. And you also have to take that to a line without going over it. Because, in Don O'Brien and, was it Brian Wilson? Was that the other guy?
Yeah.
In their case, the stories I heard about those guys were legendary. I mean,
Big Don told me
they literally worked in separate studios because they hated each other so much.
I have one other question.
Wait.
I'm going to make an important point here. Big Don told me that once they were doing a show.
Right.
They weren't even doing a show like this. They were playing records and only talking for 10 minutes each.
But they were very popular.
Yeah. And when Don O'Brien said something that Brian Wilson didn't like, Brian Wilson reached into his briefcase and pulled out his gun.
Right.
Now, Big Don didn't say anything about this on the air, and I'm guessing the other guy was kidding.
Yeah.
But that would be a sign. And besides the fact that
Big Don said it was absolute hell to go to work.
That's rough.
He hated it.
Besides that, the fact that you said that we're competitive, we like each other.
Absolutely.
We don't hate each other's guts.
You like each other, you have to think the other guy is funny, and that's, it's rare. But so, do you think that's what happened with this guy? I mean, what did you hear about this?
I don't
Bill
know. This is the first.
Is this Bill guy gone for good, or was he just suspended, or what happened?
Hold on, we have another call.
We don't know.
We have another call. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Bob,
hey.
Rob.
Hi.
Yeah, Bill did not get fired. He had the day off. The other guy on the radio today was some wrestler promoting a pay-per-view that they're having in Baltimore on Sunday. That's all.
All right.
You know, we shouldn't listen to people.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I'm a longtime listener of Bill and Thrill since they were on the AM. I think Bill did get let go. The reason I think is that Bill just had no radio personality.
Well, I'm going to cut you off.
Too much speculation.
Because I don't know about...
Well, let's find out. It's our station. Can't we get somebody to... Because I know you listen to those guys. They said good things about us. And,
right.
I'd like to know what's going on.
The way I get it is that there are so many people in radio that the talent pool has gotten watered down.
Not like it was 50 years ago.
Right, you're very right.
Back in the days.
I'll take that argument up if you'd like to, Mike.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Back in the day.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Yes, hello. No, hello, Don and Mike. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
What is wrong with people today?
Hey. There you go. How you doing?
Shut up.
Come on, there you go.
Shut up.
That's a man.
Yeah, that's below the surface, I told you.
A man is back.
Maybe it comes back a little bit. No, I'm fine.
Don and Mike show, hello.
I'm perfectly fine.
So who am I now?
Bill got let go.
What?
Bill got let go.
Okay, well, let's...
What is this Bill got let go?
Let's
Bill got let go.
Let's not shed crocodile tears
Bill
over
got
this.
Let go gone.
I didn't really know either of them. They had a good show. I wish this guy Bill nothing but the best.
Bill got let go thing at.
I hope that the new Bill.
What not?
Hope that the new Bill does as well, and they have an entertaining show.
It's going to be like Lassie. They'll bring in the new Bill.
Well, I'm sure you remember the stories of disc jockeys coming in when it would be like the guys' names would be Hudson and Harrigan. And what they would do is the Harrigan guy would get pissed, and one day there would just be another guy, and they'd still be, I'm Hudson, and I'm Harrigan. It would be the exact
Hudson and Harrigan.
New Darren, yeah.
Didn't that happen at WPGC all the time in the late 60s, that they wouldn't have to buy new jingle?
Yeah, there was always a guy who had a generic name.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm Charlie Brown.
I'm Merv Harrigan.
And this is the Capital Morning Zoo.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what happened?
Come again?
What happened with Bill and Thrill?
What's wrong with people today?
I don't know.
Hey, what happened?
I have no objective way of evaluating because
Don and Mike
frame
show.
Of mind that I'm in.
I'm in a pretty decent frame of mind. I think that it's just, hey, man. Crazy weekend.
Everybody's toast.
Crazy. Everybody's nutty. It's the weekend, Mike.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
How's it going? Calling from Baltimore. Yeah.
And me, listen, you want to talk about, Robbie, you got working for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Man, am I ready to load that one. Load that baby up. Yeah, hi, you're calling from Baltimore. Hello.
Steve Thrill explained the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They pulled him in a meeting. They basically told Bill to move on.
Uh-huh.
And potentially he's going to be having another role and possibly another show on 105.7.
Okay.
They are going to bring in a new guy.
Thanks.
To be
I think I've learned all I need to learn now. Do you feel the same?
As do I,
yeah,
Mike.
More than
as
I.
As do I. Thank you, though.
All right.
Bye-bye. I think we've really explained the saga, and I feel like I'm completely up to speed.
Right.
I don't really feel like we need any more information on that.
No.
Nope.
I'd like to hear maybe the story of Bill. Or is it Thrill?
I don't know. What are their last names? Please, that's a joke. Don't call and tell us their last names.
Right. Please. But it also demonstrates how attentive people listen to the radio.
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Got let go.
Hello there.
Don's and Mike's.
Don's and Mike's. Right. Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, Don, do you still have the My Two Dicks song in your wallet? You had a little...
No, you know, I'm going to write myself a sticky note right now.
Note to self.
And I'll bring it in Monday, the My Two Dicks, because we were looking for it last week, and I have no idea what happened to it.
I've been waiting for 4 years for listening to you play that again.
And you know, I had a perfect opportunity because one night this week on TV Land, they did a night-long special all about Dr. Bombay. Where all they did was show Bewitched, and they just showed episodes with Dr. Bombay.
What, on TV Land? Is
on
that
TV
where that
Land,
was?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, that featured both dicks, I think. Dr. Bombay was in there.
Yeah, right. Sure. Dr. Bombay was treating both dicks.
Sergeant New York.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi.
One night this week on TV Land.
Turn down your radio, please.
And it's you now.
Special.
Oh. You would pass up a night with the New York Knicks. Because you're the witch with two dicks.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, this is Don and Mike show?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I need to speak with Don and Mike.
Well, they're very busy. Maybe I can help you. What would you like to talk to them about?
I want to talk to them, find out what the hell is wrong with all these stupid-ass listeners. This isn't the Don and Mike and Bill show. This is the Don and Mike show.
You're right.
That's a good point.
I
can tell you this.
I think you're absolutely right.
I can tell you this as someone behind the scenes that this show...
Somebody's pushing it.
What?
Somebody's pushing it, huh?
Pushing what?
The Bill crap.
What do you mean somebody's pushing it? Did you want to get on the air with Don and Mike?
If I could.
Great. And what's your name?
My name is Harry.
And Harry, where are you calling from?
I'm calling out of Vienna.
And Harry, you're calling to say what? I have to put it up on the screen for them.
I want to let them know that this is the Don and Mike show, not the Don and Mike and Bill show.
And you're sick of stupid listeners, right?
Stupid listeners.
Can I put that down on the screen for Don to see that you're sick of stupid listeners who just don't get it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, that's what we'll put down, and you'll be on the air in about 5 seconds.
Thank you.
Hold on, please.
Always nice when the Viennese check in.
When the what?
Viennese. He's from Vienna. Great town.
Remember we were running that town down not too long ago?
Yes, we were. You ready? Because right. I got a way we can deal with this.
All right. That's
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, we have a caller from Vienna. Before we talk to him, I want to mention that, this is the Don and Mike show, not the Don, Mike, and Bill show.
Yeah.
So enough of that. End of that. So let's just not that.
No more stupid callers. We'd like original thoughts and original ideas.
And intelligent calls, please. What can we do for you? Hello? Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just want to know why all these people think they need to go out and party on a Friday night when they're already too messed up to understand this isn't the Don and Mike and Bill show.
Well, wait a minute.
We just said that.
Yeah. Weren't you listening? Sorry? We just said that.
We just said that.
Y'all are completely messed up.
You know, our new topic should be Vienna sucks. Sir?
There you go.
Rob wrote that
Charlie,
one, too. I don't claim responsibility for that Vienna sucks guy. Rob, I know you like to take it.
Yeah. Just a gag.
Fantastic. Give me one minute. Tell you why I got a great weekend. My son is back from college. Socializing with my wife. And Buzz and his wonderful wife. But the hottest chick in the world is coming. My mother-in-law is coming! That's right.
Slow down.
My mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Is on her way right now.
That is off the hook.
You lucky man.
Let me just say this. And you wonder why I'm excited. My mother-in-law is coming for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Security cameras turned on. Bathroom camera, one, on. Toilet camera, one, on.
Toilet cam. You'll be down there in your special monitoring room.
Under the cover cam, on.
Wow.
Full length mirror cam. On.
Oh, man.
Hi, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
I think it's time for me to issue a warning to all the callers. Half of you should hang up now, and the other half of you should really contemplate calling the show today. I'm not going to cuss.
Okay.
I'm just warning them. Half the calls, 75% of the calls I've taken today make no sense. So before you open your next beer,
Joe,
put down the phone and leave it down.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Joe does not issue those warnings very often.
Kitchen camera on.
Like a kettle in the kitchen.
Yes, bedroom camera on.
This is a new riff about your mother-in-law coming. I didn't know you liked to photograph her.
Joe cam on. Joe.
The Joe cam's like the monkey cam.
Joe cam. We got a break because the wrestler is here. However, on the phone is Bill from Live 105.7.
Really?
So let's see.
Let's find out.
Put him up. Here we go. Let's talk to him. Line 7. Hold on a second. Line 8. Bill.
Yes, Don. Hello.
Hi. Listen, dude, did you get fired?
You should actually say formerly of Live 105.7.
So you were shown the door, Bill? Is that what happened?
Yeah, you know, you had a little meeting, and Don and Mike, you guys have both been there. The PD says we're going to make a change of direction.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, you obviously you had a lot of fans in Baltimore, so.
Yeah, well, I'd appreciate that, and I thank all those guys. They're very supportive, and, you know, it's one of those things that down the road maybe will surface up again. You never know.
All right.
Well,
good luck. You got balls to come on here and talk about it.
The only thing I would ask, and I don't know either of you guys, I like your show when I've heard it.
Thank you.
How come the other guy didn't quit? I'm not trying to bust his balls.
Right.
Just
right.
Saying.
I understand.
Oh,
what
no,
you're
no, 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 no. Steve, my partner is a fantastic guy. Basically, they wanted a different straight guy. And I don't mean that in a
he's
sexual
a
manner.
Listen, Bill, let's be honest.
I don't mean in a sexual manner, but
is it,
you
Bill, is it the OxyContin?
Yeah, well, you know, I got a little involved. Rush and I were hanging out over the weekend,
right.
And
so
are you
pretty tight with the with your partner?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I talked to him last night, and I wished him the best of luck. And I mean, honestly, I hope that they do a fantastic job up there. I mean, I really, for his sake and the new guy who I don't know, but I mean, I hope they have a great show, a very successful show.
And where what are you have any immediate plans? What are you going to be doing?
Get locked, get laid,
well,
get high, get drunk.
that would cover it. Though. I'm a Red Sox fan like Mike, so
oh my God, what a bad day for you. Jesus.
All right, well, Bill, thanks for calling. Sorry you got canned.
Oh, hey, you know, it happens. That's the nature of the business.
Good luck to you. I hope you land on your feet and get another gig.
All right, thanks, guys, and have fun with David Modell in a couple weeks.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for your support.
What are these, you know, I'm
a ballsy guy.
I hate to be picking at a scab. The other guy, though. I mean, were you tight with the other guy? Did you think, like, you guys had, like, chemistry to have a show?
Oh yeah, no. We were with the whole way we got together is he and I.
Hold on, hold on. I got somebody on the phone who says this is not you.
That is not Bill.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi,
Betsy. How do you know this is not Bill?
Because if you listen to the voice, you'll get other people calling in. That is not Bill.
Are you an imposter, sir?
Absolutely not. How would you like for me to tell you to convince
let me ask Charlie, would you come here for a second?
I was gonna say Charlie called me.
Oh okay.
Okay.
Well, Betsy, what's your problem?
Hold on, let's just get Charlie in here to verify that. Oh, here he is. Hey, Charles.
Hey, I called him.
All right, Betsy, you're wrong.
That's Bill. Hey, he didn't call in, Betsy. We called Bill.
Hey, Betsy.
Yes?
Yeah, you're wrong. It is him.
You know, okay. I'm not so sure this is Betsy.
I don't think this is Betsy. This is Betsy. Oh, my bad.
Hey, Betsy?
Bad,
Yes?
Hey, Betsy?
Yes?
See?
Hey, Betsy?
Yes?
See?
See?
Hey, Betsy?
Say again.
Okay, hey, Betsy?
I tell you, I just cannot believe the things that come out of this lady's mouth.
See? Okay, bye, Betsy.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right, now you were going to ask him about the whole partner thing, right?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to bust anybody's balls, but
sure,
I remember back when Mike and I were starting out, and even before that when I worked with Buzz.
Right? And the days that, you know, they were constantly trying to fire me.
I bet we got a break here. Hello?
Don, it's John. What's up, buddy?
John Norman.
John, hey, Johnny.
How's it going?
You know,
I'll confirm that is Bill. I went to college with him.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks, all right. Johnny.
All right, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, any friend of John Norman's is a friend of ours.
Yep. I guess, yeah.
I can say that I don't remember John Norman from college, but I'm sure we had a fine time.
Okay. Maybe I'm starting to realize
enough
why
you're
making
thank you. And good luck, Bill. Good luck. Good luck, all you guys.
Bye,
we'll be right back with the Wrestler.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Look, I'm not back in 10 minutes. They call the cops. Standard operating procedure.
Here's some standard operating procedure. Stay the f*** away from Tony Soprano. Shut the f*** up and listen. It's over. Gabish? Over and done. You call or go anywhere near him or his family, and they'll be scraping your nipples off these fine leather seats.
The Don and Mike Show.
The Golden Boy.
Hey, what happened?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, what a hoot. It's so totally refreshing.
No, they're not retarded. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Oh, thank you. No, he's not retarded.
That's the one I wanted. I didn't want this one.
Hey, Howard, there's your China.
I wanted this one.
No, he's not retarded. No, he's not retarded.
Hi there.
No, he's not retarded.
Gotcha. Bring John Cena in.
The wrestler.
He is a
big guy.
A wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I would say heavily influenced by Mark Wahlberg.
You think so?
Well, I don't want to offend him and say he has a Marky Mark look.
Right. Well, here he comes now. Now, this isn't a Marky Mark look right now. This is a...
But it's Marky Mark.
UCLA look right here. Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing?
But it's Marky Mark.
Have a seat. Relax.
How you doing? He's got the Troy Aikman throwback jersey on from UCLA.
Yep.
Well, now look at him here. He looks like a normal guy wearing a football jersey. Look at the pub for this WWE superstar.
Yeah. Man. He's gorgeous.
Yeah, and you're giving that look. You're giving that. What, Lisa?
Lisa.
Lisa. There you go, Lisa.
Lisa's a little excited right now.
John Cena, you will be in Baltimore. Hey, have you had that thrill before?
Yeah.
Being in Baltimore?
Of course.
Nothing like it, we always say. Baltimore.
Baltimore's not bad. It's not bad.
Here's what you think when you're driving into Baltimore and you're going to look at that impressive skyline. Here's what you think yourself. Seriously. Berlin, 1945. You'll love it there. At the new First Mariner Arena in Baltimore, yeah. Sunday night.
Yep.
No Mercy.
No Mercy, the pay-per-view.
No Mercy pay-per-views. And so you're against Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Right. Now,
how long you been doing the wrestling there?
Just about a year and a half now.
A year and a half? WWE. Okay, yeah. So you're new to the WWE.
Yep.
And do you wrestle without your shirt on?
Yes, I do.
Do you wear that Scooby-Doo?
You seem to be very strangely fascinated.
Well, no, Mike, I'm looking
now. I'm getting a little bit disturbed.
No, from the SmackDown.com.
You wrestle with your
shirt
off.
It's another picture, though. I mean, a lot of them wrestle with their shirts off, but
it's kind of standard procedure, right?
Not all of them, though.
Well, some of them wear, kooky, crazy outfits.
Yeah, right? But or some of them will even wear T-shirts.
T-shirts, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But he's got like the Snoop hat. I don't know if it's Snoop or.
Do you wear it now? Do you wear that hat when you wear? Is that your uniform?
I'll go out and whatever I feel like wearing that day. Whatever.
Okay, so you don't have a standard outfit, right?
No, they just caught me on the same day for all those pictures. So how it ends up with you.
Well, that would be called a photo session, though. It's not like someone just caught you walking down the street and said, "Hey, that's a good look."
Somebody gave you that hat. Somebody put that hat on.
Well, that was the stuff I was wearing.
You were wearing that hat. Okay, all right.
Okay, so do you wear a cape or anything?
No, I got no. It's just regular throwbacks and hats and shorts and shoes.
So far, so good. No serious injuries or anything. We talked to. We've had so many wrestlers on the show that.
Nothing like a lot of the other guys have had. Right. Like the neck problems or anything like that. Just regular bumps and bruises.
What's your shtick? I mean, are you a good guy or a bad guy?
I like to say I'm a good guy that people just don't like me.
Really? Like, why wouldn't they like you seem nice enough to me.
Well, I just I do a lot of talking trash on the mic. Sometimes it doesn't appeal to them. I like to punk out a lot of people.
With Kurt Angle, what have you said about Kurt Angle? We've had him on the show.
How do you feel about Kurt Angle?
How do I feel about Kurt? I feel like he's due for a butt whipping. I think that he's been on top way too long, and he doesn't. He doesn't show a lot of respect in class to the new guys like myself who have a little bit of talent. He thinks that we're all trying to take a spot, so I'm going to take a spot.
Mm-hmm. So what about this crazy Stephanie McMahon thing?
What do you think about it? Stephanie versus Vince.
I love this. I love it.
And there's a lot of angst there. There's a lot of tension.
How about this for an underlying storyline? The State Athletic Commission of Maryland is threatening to fine them because it does not allow an intergender matchup.
Wow. Especially a father-daughter thing.
Yeah, this is a father-daughter matchup, but it is an intergender matchup, so it is therefore against the state athletic commission law, and they're gonna fine WWE.
Well, I would think that it's Stephanie, right?
Yes,
it is. Is gonna kick her father's ass.
I would say so.
I don't think you can go any other way.
No,
do you? I mean,
no.
I really don't.
But what if she pins him? What if she ends up somehow straddling him?
Oh, man.
Righty, Mike, why don't you do this pin thing?
Can I get a...
We're getting awkward here.
I'm sorry. Can I get a...
I think they've gone around this. They've made it an I quit match.
No, that's what... You're right. It's the I quit match.
I think they probably thought of that. And I think they're going around.
There is something a little disturbing about that whole thing. I mean, there's obviously going to be a lot of contact, and it's like, I'm disturbed.
It's going to be physical.
Mike, let's face it. Let's look at the...
I'm having a bad day, John. Bear with me, okay?
She's attractive.
Look at that picture.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
She's really a handsome woman.
Yeah.
And
I'm rooting for her. Boy, she looks like she could kick anybody's... Not your ass, John, but is she...
take a look at him.
Well, look, he's a hump.
Now, if I could have her picture back,
all right.
Just a match.
We can do a little comparison.
They're on the floor there the in the squared circle. He's on the ground, and now she's... on top of him like this. Now, I'm doing a visual thing with the picture.
I'm already disturbed by that.
I call it...
John, do we have evidence that these two are blood related? I mean, they are definitely father.
Oh, yeah.
I'm even more disturbed.
Family. This is family we're talking about.
Yeah. Wow.
That's titillating. And he's done things to her before.
Yeah.
He's been mean to her, right?
Altercations Vince has done stuff to Stephanie, and Stephanie's done stuff to Vince.
I believe even for the WWE, this is unprecedented. I think
this
is going to be amazing.
The first ever.
So as far as these WWE guys go, and we get a lot of you guys in the show, you're great guests, you seem to be the 90210-ish of the crowd, the OC of the crowd.
You got to help me out. It just went over my head.
The NSYNC of the crowd.
I'm the boy band?
Yeah. Yes, I'd have to say that.
I didn't want to give out that vibe, you guys. It's really coming off like that.
When you start
looking
doing this,
at you now,
do they tell you we want you to be a certain way? Or how much input do you get
when you
come into the WWE?
When you start off,
right?
They have, okay, we want you to do this.
They've got a personality for you.
This is
right?
what we're doing. And then as time goes on and they get to know you, you know, you're with these people. We're on the road, you know, 300 days a year. So then they find, you know, you find your niche and they let you run with it.
Now,
John's PP.
What's that?
Just like me. Classification people. He is pretty and powerful.
Like you are.
Just like me.
Absolutely. It's a cross to bear, isn't it?
And actually, really with is. You, it will be pretty yet powerful.
Yeah.
You're, beautiful yet bombastic.
Wow.
Freaky Friday up in here.
It is. It's a goofy day here. It really is. Right. Would you see your personality going in any different direction? Would you like to be the guy that wears the white hat more, or would you like to even be a more hated guy than you are right now?
Well, the thing with me right now is I don't give a damn.
Right.
Like, I'll do what I do, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if you like me, you can cheer for me, and I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't like me, I'm going to be right up in your face telling you how much you suck.
All are you a married guy?
I'm not.
You get a lot of stink on the road?
There is some out there.
There is. Let's take some phone calls, and then we're going to give John the sex quiz.
There's your answer.
Charles.
I'd like to hang around just for the seconds, okay?
Yeah. Charles, you're on the air.
John Cena, how's it going, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm a big follower of yours, Thugonomics, all that stuff.
Cool.
What, in your opinion, has been the best matches you've ever seen?
The best match I have ever seen? I have a Japanese tape at home of All Japan between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. That's one of the best matches I've ever seen. The best WWE/WWF match I've ever seen.
There's a copy. We have a copy of that, right?
That's the same. Would have to be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Macho Man WrestleMania 3.
WrestleMania 3. Excellent match. The Pontiac Silverdome. All right, Matt. Thank you.
See you in the basement of the science building.
John, if I can ask you about an unsung hero, a wrestler that I just don't think gets the credit that he deserves.
Okay.
I ask every wrestler that we have in here, how do you feel about Tugboat? Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Yeah, man, that's all right. Let's get
Are you a big Tugboat fan?
I am a Tugboat fan.
Back in the day, you were in a Tugboat fan. You were a major Tugboat fan when he was a real regular.
Right. Absolutely. I wish, on to the memory.
Know,
I don't know where Tugboat is now, but I mean, I to go to a match and to be actually at the arena and hear backstage the, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you line up on the Tugboat question?
I think you just answered it for me. Can you top that? Can you possibly top that?
Tugboat. I love Tugboat. I really do.
Would you like to wear a cape?
I think once the cape is going to have to come out. Just because I think everybody wants, deep down, wants to wear it.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, hello. You're on with John Cena. Jeff.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Just wanted to ask John, when is your contract up?
I don't know. I really don't know. I try not to pay attention to that. I just show up every week, and if they tell me I'm working, I got a smile on my face.
There you go.
Because I'll tell you what, I think you're very talented, and, I don't know where Vince and the writing team are going. And if you talk to Vince, let him know that me and my boys appreciate the fact we now have 4 extra hours a week because we're not watching the programs.
Oh, man, that's sad. I apologize.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. I have to break in here.
What's going on here?
I'm lost.
I came off saying, everything's good, but
no.
We're not watching your show.
I'm lost when he said something about writers.
Yo, John.
I don't follow, Mike.
Yeah, no, there's absolutely no.
I don't get it.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I mean, who is that? Oliver Stone on the phone?
Writers. We have some sort of drama. Come on, give me a break.
Right.
Wrestling.
Christ.
God.
Hello, John and Mike's show.
What's wrong with people? The sport.
You should have seen Johnny. He was really laughing, but he was doing his best.
Yes, I know.
To keep it as quiet as possible.
Gotta keep it together. That's right. That's always the dynamic with the wrestlers. I like
writers.
Writers. What an ass.
What?
Hello, Bud.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We're doing fine, Bud.
Hey, I got a question. The names Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar, I mean, they were wrestlers, national champions in college and stuff. Are there more and more collegiate style and Olympic style wrestlers getting involved in the WWE?
Yeah. You'd be surprised. Actually, the world's greatest tag team, composed of Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. Both have NCAA as well as All-American background. Shelton was an All-American over at Minnesota, and Charlie did some damage at Seton Hall. There's a big talent pool there to be had, and amateur wrestling has supplied us with a lot of good athletes, both in the past and now right now in WWE.
Yeah, now you have a sports background besides wrestling?
Yeah, I played football. I played mm-hmm. 4 years at Springfield College. I was mm-hmm. Team captain over there. I was a first-team All-American.
What position did you play in football?
Offensive line, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? What position on the line?
Center.
Center.
Yeah.
You were a center.
I was.
I was the center.
You ever fart when the quarterback was coming back to get the ball?
I did.
Hey, bud.
What's your problem?
That's what you get for sticking your hands in my crotch.
last call here. Then the sex quiz. Dennis. Dennis,
hey,
hello.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
you guys got me the tickets. John, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
I'll be able to meet you Sunday night. Don and Mike scored me some tickets.
You can thank us for that later. There's going to be a group of our animal fans,
absolutely.
Our animal listeners out there, your fans meeting you.
So you'll have a good time.
Cool.
Definitely. I just want to say I'm looking forward to meeting you guys, and thanks again, man.
Oh, great, man. I hope you enjoy the show. I look forward to meeting you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks. All right. Bye, ass. It wasn't enough that the guy won the tickets.
He had to call and say that.
And really,
we gave, he took. He didn't give.
Look for the guy with the retainer.
Yeah.
With a full head-on retainer.
Yeah. Did you see the retainer in the hallway here the other day?
Yeah.
Rob, do you remember that when we were looking at you?
Yeah. It's now up in a mailbox up front.
Really? Has anybody determined who, like, hacked out their retainer around the radio station?
I don't think he works here anymore, but he used to do midday.
All right, let me just get a plug in here before the sex quiz. Everybody go see John Cena. He'll be in Baltimore Sunday night, No Mercy. This is pay-per-view around the country.
He's dancing to this music.
Quarter to late, First Mariner Arena in Baltimore, and it's WWE, and it's on pay-per-view WWE No Mercy this weekend. Okay, John Cena, here you go. 13 questions.
We got 13 sex questions.
Very good.
World-famous sex quiz.
Now, I should preface this by saying that the world record holder for yes answers, and you'll hear the last part of this, the highest score was a wrestler on the sex quiz.
That's right.
So I had no pressure, but I just thought I'd share that with you.
Have you ever been in a three-way or enjoyed group sex?
Yes.
Have you ever had sex while a girl's menstruating?
Yes.
Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Yes.
Yes. Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten your jerk on in front of others?
Oh, of course.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Yes.
Ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
Yes.
Ever had sex in the no-no?
No-no. Elaborate. No, I have not been in the back door.
Where food comes out. Good answer. You're a good boy. Have you gotten your jerk on today?
Of course.
That might be a first.
It might move him ahead on the scale.
Have you ever had sex in a car?
Yes.
Ever had a one-night stand, sex with a stranger?
Yeah, of course.
And finally, John, to the nearest 10, 50, 100, or 1,000, what is your total number of sexual partners?
Ooh, I don't know.
You'd have to hazard a guess.
Do a guess. I'll make a round guesstimation and say 50.
50.
50.
50. Buzz,
50 for John Cena.
How did John do on the quiz?
One of our strongest scores ever. 10 yes answers and 50 partners for John Cena. Congratulations, John.
Wow. Hey. And now we will give you the answer, Diamond Dallas Page. How many numbers, how many partners did he have?
Over 4,000.
4,000. Yes, 4,000.
I mean, I'm claiming 50, but I'll be straight up with you. Like, 48 of those on a scale of 1 to 10 are probably like a 1.5, you know?
Wow.
And Dennis Franz hit that thing. Dennis Franz was...
He had 10 yes answers also.
Diamond Dallas Page indicated to us that the reason for that number being so high was his years as a bouncer. In a bar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're where the action is at. Yep. Right now. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Well, everybody, please watch the pay-per-view. You got to go now. Please watch Justin Timberlake as he takes on Kurt Angle.
Bye-bye.
Very nice meeting you, John.
Another in a long series of good wrestler interviews. Good luck to you, John. Nice meeting you.
You guys are good.
Take care of yourself.
Get out of here.
And he's with his handler there. That's the guy probably, you know, like when they go into the bar, it's like, yeah, I can let you meet him.
I'll tell you, the only thing that we've been asked to do with these guys, we're glad to because we like getting them on.
Right.
They're good interviews, and everybody likes wrestling. we've been asked when they're on to refer to them as superstars.
Really?
Yes, that was a serious request.
WWE superstars.
Yeah. Superstars.
Okay.
Superstars right. of tomorrow, today.
That's right.
That's John Cena. John.
Nice guy. Very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Very personable.
Yeah.
And Rob, you.
What did Rob put?
You say it, Rob.
What did Rob? Yeah, you say it, Rob.
You say it. We'll go to break.
Very nice right. fellow. Bright man, John Cena.
All right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to stay. He has handled this situation as a disgrace.
What?
As a disgrace.
No. The Don and Mike Show. They will do you well, Don and Mike.
All right, let me explain to you what's happening with the show. We have a very hot chick, woman, a babe, joining us in about 40 minutes. She's not been an FHM or stuff yet.
No.
But she will be. I think they're going to actually do a very lengthy spread. Everybody loves her. Nancy is her name.
Yeah. She's gorgeous.
She'll be on doing the NFL picks.
Absolutely.
So we have a couple of breaks before we get to that part of the show. And okay. This is where we always do Jeopardy.
Well, there you go.
And... and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus today because we're still going to do the bit part of Jeopardy.
Yes.
Mike's voice is not exactly...
It's not up to par, no. It is not. It's getting better, which is a phenomenon I've never understood. It's getting better as the show progresses, but it's still not where it is. I did a bit of yelling last night.
So we're still going to do the James Garner bit.
Good.
There you go.
But sometimes things just fall into your lap.
Yes. No, you're responsible for this. This is amazing. Yeah.
We're on the way. I'm on the way. I say weird, but it's just me. I'm on the way into work, and I noticed...
Go ahead. Use Queen's third person.
I've noticed... all week, all of these signs in the house right down the street, blue signs
right.
that say, Chap Peterson
right.
for whatever position. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. It's a local election.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything to anybody. It probably doesn't mean anything to people who live here.
Right.
But anyway, I said sure. I could never vote for the guy based on his name.
I have never seen a man who looks more like his name.
And Mike and I just went out to the lobby, and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, candidate for something. Here is Chap Peterson.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
There he is, Chap.
What are you running for, Chap?
Don and Mike, my name is Chap Peterson, and I'm running for re-election for state delegate for Fairfax.
State delegate. Okay, so that's a real deal right. thing.
Chap is a given name?
Well, actually, my real name is John. And my father's name is John, and so I was nicknamed Chap as a young boy, and so they call me Chap.
So that's how you got the name.
Hold on.
Right.
You were John, and your dad is John.
Right.
How do you get Chap out of John?
Well, my middle name was Chapman, so...
Ah. Oh, okay. There All right.
So it's a conscious choice that you're running a campaign under the name Chap Peterson.
Right. Well, I figure people will remember the name because it's a little bit unusual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
True. See, when I hear the name, I think... Chap Peterson, who is that chap? And then, look at this, he comes and he's wearing like...
He's got the bow tie, he's got the kind of political look going here.
He's like
he really
dressed as a Riddler, as some kind of a villain out of a Batman comic. He's got on the shirt with the big crazy bow tie.
That's great.
And he's got all of the signs. We walked out of the lobby and he said, hey, Don and Mike, I'm Chap Peterson.
I knew because he had the button on when I,
right.
you know.
That's right.
And here's the fan, too.
Yeah, I brought you a couple fans. It says, I'm a Chap Peterson fan. And just since I represent you all, and I actually live two blocks away from the studio,
right.
I'd like you all to be Chap Peterson fans.
I already am Chap, I'll be honest with you. I mean, Don, and I think you're winning Don over, too, which is a very
I might be a John Peterson fan, or even a Jack Peterson fan, or a Johnny Peterson fan, uh-huh. but... Chap! Dude!
But Don, are you lobbying to have Chap change his name?
Yeah, because and when's the election?
The election is in 2 weeks, November 4th.
And
don't forget to vote, Fairfax. November 4th.
Chap.
All right. You're an attorney, too.
That's correct.
All right. Well
that's one. That's
a demerit right there. That's it. You know.
Well, I'm an attorney and a politician.
An attorney and a politician.
You can only go further.
Chap, how far do you want to go with this whole political thing? What's next? If you win this election, what is next for Chap Peterson?
Well, this is no joke. Actually,
and just so everybody makes sure, it's C-H-A-P.
Chap.
It's like, what a campy Chap.
What a merry old chap. It's British, but yet he's got a pretty heavy southern accent.
It's Champ, and it brings up...
Chap.
I'm sorry, not Chap. Champ. It's Chap.
Right.
And it brings up the thought.
All right, I'll just say it.
It brings up country clubs that don't allow all people.
That is what the name Chap says to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
the name says to me Augusta.
This is Chap. Say, I understand there's a donkey, Tiger Woods, who wants to play.
Oh, my God.
There's a woman who wants to play.
Now.
Chap.
Well, come on. The name Chap does have that elitist, old...
Well, it's not. It's just Chap. We've always discussed that Kip, Muffy, you know, all those kinds of...
Now, Muffy's a girl's name, though.
Well, no, but Muffy was always, in my mind, was always right. The elitist female name.
Kip.
But, like, Kip has always been one that I thought was kind of...
But the thing is, Kip...
The three-letter first names, you know.
Kip.
Except Art is not a...
Think about this, Mike. Kip could be the name of a pro athlete. Could you see lining up now for the Dallas Cowboys?
No, I disagree. I think Kip would be
Kip.
Kip would be a blue blood kind of name.
Yeah, sweater around the neck.
No, but Chap is total sweater.
What about Chance?
Okay, different arena now.
Right.
Because that's Larry King's kid.
Well, yeah, but I think Larry King picked that name because it's kind of an elitist name.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's on the Chap tree.
Right, it's just a nickname. It's just a nickname.
That's right.
There's no hidden meaning. It was my father that picked it out, so I didn't.
So you came by it honestly.
Right, and the thing about it is, especially when you're young, it's easy to spell and people remember it. And
so you've been Chap your whole life?
All my life.
Beat up when you were a kid?
No. I mean, for other reasons, but not for that reason.
Nobody ever beat you up just because your name was Chap?
No.
Nobody said, hey, Champ. No. Chap.
That's good. People call me Chip sometimes.
What kind of law did you practice before you got into politics?
I still practice law.
Okay.
In Virginia, being a politician's a part-time gig.
Right.
So I go to work in the morning and I practice law. And
what kind?
I'm a commercial litigator, so I represent all types of businesses.
Business.
Y'all ever have a contract dispute or something?
Oh, yeah.
Be very careful.
Okay. I can help you out.
He's a litigator.
He could be on your side.
Look at him. He's a litigator.
Yeah, but look at him. Represent the working people.
He could litigate for you.
Yes, I understand.
Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
Democrat.
Okay. What are your political aspirations? If you win, you're saying reelected, so you are a delegate.
I was elected 2 years ago.
And do you have a desire to go on to a higher office?
At this point, no. At this point, I'd just like to get reelected.
Okay.
But that could change in 2 weeks.
Hello.
I'd just like to get reelected.
I'm calling for the committee to reelect Chap. Chap Peterson. That's the whole thing.
Well, Don, how do we resolve this situation? What do you want? What do you want?
He's got to change his name. You got to be John or Jack Peterson. Now that's a man's name.
I like Jack Peterson.
Jack Peterson is the name of a guy that you see that and you say, well, that's a guy. That's a guy who's running for office.
Yeah, but the problem is there's too many people named Jack. It's not a.
Yeah.
It's not.
And there's not a lot of guys named Chap.
What are your polls?
There's a reason for that.
What do your polls tell you, Chap? How are you doing in the? I mean, do you get polling at this level? Do you get a little idea of how you're doing and you know what your chances are?
Yeah, I pretty much just walk around and talk to people. That's how I do my polls.
He came to Buzz. Well, you can get involved.
I don't know if you remember, Chap, but you came
Buzz
to my.
Over
I'm
there,
sure you don't.
Right.
Here's one of your constituents right
behind you. You came to my door recently when you were going door-to-door campaigning.
Where do you live,
event.
Buzz?
Buzz,
yeah,
give
out the address. I live here in Fairfax.
Would you like a yard sign?
I would, or a fan. I would settle for
a fan. Like a yard sign.
If you got a lot that's on a corner, I can bring you a yard sign.
My neighbors have them, sure.
Okay. All right, well, I'm proud to represent you, Buzz, and the election is November 4th. If I can do anything for you, just let me know.
I'll be voting.
I know.
I'll be voting.
Thank you.
How do you feel about legalizing marijuana?
It's always the easiest question.
Well, you're a politician, and you're in our forum, and we figured we'd do the broadcast journalism thing.
How do you feel about pornography?
Pretty much opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
No, come
you're
on.
You're a Democrat.
Come on.
You're opposed to pornography?
There goes my endorsement.
Hold on,
right
now. You were just going to say something. Could be used as a soundbite. Were you about to say that you're not opposed to pornography?
Roll the out-of-context tape, please.
What I say is that there's a First Amendment, and that pretty much determines what people can and cannot do. And I'm in the state legislature. Our role is much more mundane.
Okay.
Do you enjoy pornography? Do you?
I'm married. Yeah.
So am I, and I do. Do you?
I'm married. I have two kids.
Yeah.
So do I. Do you?
That might be falling into the category of not answering.
Yeah,
the,
I think I'm about to get a little bit of face.
You've got these strikes working against you. Your name is Chap. going on.
Right.
We got to get past that. We've got to get down to where.
What's he holding?
He's got a sign that says leadership.
I see that chap. Can I?
Leadership for Fairfax.
Now it's 2 weeks till the election. Is it?
That's right.
Is it too late for him to change his name, or is this his chance to save it?
I think he's chap. It seems to me that the people that are supporting you have spent an awful lot of money on these printed materials. It would probably be an enormous campaign expense.
Can I tell y'all something that may save you my vote?
There was a Kinko somewhere, Mike.
Yeah, that's all it would take. This
my
is pretty good
my name
here.
On the ballot is actually not Chap. It's J. Chapman Peterson.
Oh.
Hey, that's even worse. Hello. This is J. Chapman Peterson.
I knew it was going to be that way.
Call me Chap. this is J. What was it? J.
Chapman Peterson. Hello, this is J. Chapman Peterson. Have Sloan out in front of the school.
God.
What's your big issue, Chap? What's your number one issue?
Well, I think one of the things we were proud of is in Fairfax City we opened a new satellite DMV. And okay. So if y'all ever need any DMV...
Wait a minute. That's all right. That's I like
right.
that. That's all grassroots, right. Don.
All right. Let me talk to you about something that that affects all the people who work here. Have you been to that McDonald's right down the street by the high school?
I go there all the time.
Oh, that has the worst service drive-through of any fast food restaurant.
You can't order anything with no cheese because they'll always give you cheese anyway.
Right, it's just a mess. Can we litigate that?
You can't order right off the menu.
Right.
You just go up.
Have you suffered emotional distress?
Yes. You can litigate it, right?
And we'll talk afterwards. But I get a third of everything we make.
Very good. No problem.
All right.
No problem.
Well, he's Champ Peterson. He's running for something, and he's coming today.
Running for
Fairfax delegate,
November 4th. I need your vote, Fairfax. Thank you very much.
Now, Champ, let me. You're a lawyer, so I'll ask you a legal question. Now, does this mean now that we've done this that we're going to have to parade all of your opponents in here, too? I think it might.
I have
Buzz, you would know more about that.
I didn't say I was a good lawyer.
I think we may be subject to equal time here.
Yeah.
Bring them on. We'll treat them all the same way.
Yeah, we will, Chap. Absolutely.
No. Chap's giving us, what do you want, exclusivity? Chap, I tell you what. I'll offer you the same challenge here. Not challenge. It's simply a friendly offer for your possible voter to get to know you. How do you feel about taking the sex quiz?
I can't do that.
Now, why couldn't you do that?
I'm very shy.
So am I, but I'm here doing a radio show. Somehow I'm summoning up
Chap
courage.
I'll just tell you that Don has taken it. I've taken it. Buzz has taken it. With the Libertarian candidate for president took it one time. Dennis Franz has taken it. Right. Many showbiz luminaries have taken it. We just had a wrestler from the WWE that took
it.
Rosemarie. I don't know if you got it. Rosemarie, from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Right.
Rob is just actually... The lawyers have called.
Yes.
This is not a joke. Steve Herman's office called.
Right.
We're exempt because we're an entertainment show. Apparently, Howard had the FCC.
Oh, that's right. Howard did it. That's
right. Howard wanted Arnold on his show.
Very good.
We don't want to be classified as a news show.
No,
we're entertainment, so we don't have to.
I'm going
to
tell you this once, Jeff. I think if you took the sex quiz, you would probably get some votes.
But I'd probably lose a couple times.
I guarantee a victory for you.
You guarantee a victory for him?
If he took the sex quiz.
Well, and if he doesn't, you guarantee a defeat?
Yes.
Oh, dear. That's pretty good.
Look at local time. Now, I realize on the West Coast it's 2 o'clock, but local time, it's 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. You're reaching in the Washington area alone anywhere between 500,000 to 750,000 people. Who knows how many of them live in Fairfax County?
Probably a couple.
Do you want our endorsement?
I would like your endorsement.
Take the quiz.
I can't take the quiz.
All right, well, then we're going to have
to... We can only urge everyone to vote, and we're going to have to find out the guy's name.
We don't even know.
He'd have to take the quiz before you could...
We're going to have to find out the other guy's name and endorse him.
Don, I think Chap does bring up a fair point. We would have to find out if his opponent would take the quiz.
I think that's right.
I'm sure his opponent will. I'm sure his opponent doesn't have a queer name.
Stop it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming
it's
in.
Great to see you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Don't forget vote Fairfax, November 4th.
Chap
Peterson.
I smell a debate.
Yes.
Yeah, a debate would be great.
Chap, back on the microphone, just very briefly. Would you be willing to debate your opponent on our station?
Sure, anytime.
There you go. All right, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Here's Chap.
Chap Peterson, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Chap Peterson.
All right.
It'll all be questioned.
There he goes.
Quiz.
You're not going to believe it. This is Chap Peterson. I was at the club today. There was a woman out on the tee box actually hitting balls. I'm Chap Peterson.
Chap Peterson.
Chap Peterson.
That was fun. Interesting.
He's a graduate of Fairfax High School.
Buzz, you actually can vote for Chap, can't you?
I'm eligible to do that.
What yes. How do you feel after his appearance? Are you undecided?
No. Thumbs down.
Buzz, I'm asking Buzz.
Uh-huh. I think I might vote for the guy.
Oh.
But
you've disappointed one man.
But I haven't decided until after the debate.
Well, bye, chap.
Bye. See you, chap.
Bye.
Want to know what he makes a year for being in the House of Delegates?
What?
$17,640 ducks.
Yeah, $17,000 too much, if you ask me.
Right. Like, Chap needs that. You know what that is?
Uh-huh. What's that?
Pin money for Chap.
That's Chap. That's his mad money.
That's for going to valet parking on a weekend.
A handful of bow ties.
Donnie, where's my $17,000? We got a break. We're going to come back and do the James Gardner thing right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Whatever happens, you're safe, John. You could walk away with $7 million, maybe more. We're not talking just f*** you money, John boy. We're talking f*** everybody money.
F*** everybody.
Wish me luck?
I just pray you get it. I really do.
Thank you, John. I appreciate
that. The Don and Mike Show. Two willful boys, John and Mike.
All right, here we are. And as I mentioned earlier, here is the deal. Want to play Jeff R.D. Got the Jeff R.D. Due to the... not the best team in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. Last night, Mike blew his voice out a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're still going to be able to be joined to do the bit part of Jeopardy. Join now. Let's be joined. Let's join him. Here he is.
Well, how are you?
James Gardner.
Hey, that's good to see you. How's everybody doing?
So you bastard.
Now, that's not a nice way to start. Why are you starting like that, Don? There's no excuse for that.
You're on.
Used to be your problem, anyway. You like to talk about all those dirty things on your show. Why do you do that? And then you say bastard. What's that make you feel like? Why are you saying bastard? I'm going to kick your boot across the state line.
Here's why you're a bastard. Because you're taking a job.
Oh, you're talking
from a
about
dead guy.
Eight simple rules. There's no reason you should get all uptight about that, Don. Everything's going to be just fine. I'm James Gardner, and I'm taking over from the very talented and passed away John Ritter. Yeah.
What did you like best about... Let's find
I'll
out.
I'll be playing the grandpa.
What did you like best about John Ritter when he was alive?
Well, now you put me on the spot right away.
Yeah.
You're going to ask me what I liked about John Ritter. I'm a film actor, first and foremost, Don. I know I did The Rockford Files.
He was in some films.
What did I like about John Ritter? Well, what a conundrum you got me in right there. Okay. He did that show with that hot blonde.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the name of that show?
I think so. Let me tax my memory here, see if I got it. It's
called The Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild. Great show. Fantastic. It was great. Love the lady with that thigh master. Whatever her name is.
Right. Uh-huh.
Susan Struthers.
That's her, Susan Struthers.
Fantastic, and I love that show. And the other lady on Joyce
Halfwit.
Joyce Halfwit. Fantastic. Joker's Wild. I loved it. It's all good. But I'm about 6 weeks away from the box myself.
Mm.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this is my last hurrah. I said to the agent just the other day, I said, I'll go down and do that, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to be long for this world.
All right, I'm glad you brought that
There's
up.
There's a rumor around Hollywood that I'd like to share about Eight Simple Rules.
Hmm.
The show's supposed to be cursed.
I have a copy.
Someone told me that the fact is that if I go on that set, I won't have more than 6 months to live.
Wow. Well, since you accepted the job as taking over the lead role from John Ritter...
I spent the entire last week shopping for crypts. They're going to put me in a crypt. I'll be a crypt keeper. I'll be worm food. That's right. I'll be all moldy and dusty.
You know what I have right here?
What do you have there?
Before and after medical report.
What is that?
On your prostate.
Very good. I'd like to hear that. You want to share that with me? My prostate, how's it doing?
Before you took the role.
Yes.
It's
enlarged.
You had...
I know it's enlarged. I can practically feel it through my belly button.
You had what was termed...
There's nothing worse than an enlarged prostate, especially when you have to go winky tank.
A relatively healthy prostate.
I was in a men's room in Hollywood just over off La Brea just the other day. As a matter of fact, I went into the urinal and it took me 16 minutes before the flow started.
Wow. Now, since you signed...
To tell the truth.
Since you've signed this deal, which was... When did he sign?
The show's Eight Simple Rules, and I'm going to take the role of Grandpa.
When did he take the role? 2 days ago?
Earlier this week.
Yeah. Since then, according to this from Dr. Bonday...
There's a rumor that my colon has steak in it that's left over from my days doing Polaroid commercials.
You have not evacuated...
I haven't evacuated in 16 months.
Number one or number two.
That's
well, now...
16 months of constipation.
Wow.
My litany of health problems, you're all familiar with my heart work that I've done. I've had some heart work, that's true, but the fact of the matter is that I'm a mess. I'm falling apart, and if I get through even four episodes of Eight Simple Rules, it'll be a medical miracle.
Well, now, is this why they hired you? Because you were in frail health, or
no, they hired
are you getting
they
sicker since you took the job?
Sicker by the day. I got a litany of medical problems. I'd love to share them with you right now. Oh. Enlarged prostate, enlarged bowel, enlarged heart, enlarged liver, enlarged everything. I have an enlarged pancreas.
Mm.
My right eyeball, if you look at it real closely, is larger than the other one. It's enlarged.
All right, now we have some copy that ABC has asked you.
I bear down, but it doesn't do me any good. It does no good at all. As a matter of fact, I'm having trouble hearing and seeing you right now.
We have copy from ABC. They would like you to say, hi, this is James Gardner.
Howdy, this is James Gardner. Looking forward to joining me on Eight Simple Rules, replacing the dead guy.
No, this is for after you die.
My kidney's made of glass.
I want you to say, hi, this is James Gardner. Even though I'm gone, watch some of my favorite fill-in episodes.
How'd you like to look at the ends of my fingers?
Oh, no.
Oh, those are talons.
Yellow as daffodils, aren't they? Look at how yellow they are. It's very difficult being me. As a matter of fact, I'm on medication to control my shaking, too.
Would you cut the promo?
I'll do it right now.
Hi, this is James Gardner.
Howdy, this is James Gardner. Come on.
Howdy.
It's not Gardner, it's Garner.
Yeah. Howdy, this is James Gardner.
Howdy, this is James Gardner.
Join me for my last...
forward to being... All right, you want me to repeat after you?
Join me. For my last few episodes.
Howdy, this is James Gardner. Join me for my last few episodes of Eight Simple Rules.
These are the episodes I selected before I died.
These are the episodes that I selected right before I bought the farm. My BO smells like vinegar for no good reason. It's very, very difficult. Wow. Something's coming out of my skin, and I tell you, it smells very funky. I'm not sure what that is. That's a little vinegar, a little olive juice. I'm not real sure. Yeah, that's olive juice.
Huh.
Must have been that dry martini I had last night. Extra dry. Just spray that vermouth in there and put it on my yellow fingers. Let me lick it off like a cat.
When I die.
Yes, sir. When I die.
Please replace me.
Please replace me.
With the talented.
With the very talented.
Bernie Coppell.
I like Bernie Coppell. Now, you're not trying to run him down, too, are you, son?
No, this is copy from ABC.
I think he's got health problems also. Bernie Coppell. I love Doc on the Love Boat.
Yeah.
I love all my Hollywood compatriots, but I'll tell you, it's very difficult to keep up with anybody at my age and my failing health.
So how do you feel seriously? You get the news John Ritter's dead, then they offer you the job taking his place. How do you feel?
I'll tell you, he's one leg. Bernie Coppell has one leg. I have to share that with you.
He could have been on the Regis show.
And I'm right behind him. I will tell you that I am right behind him. My right foot is bluer than the Pacific Ocean.
How did you feel when you got the call? It's obvious you don't know a lot about John Ritter.
I look forward to start shooting before the amputations begin.
A lot about John Ritter or his career.
I'll be honest with you. They've said this is an honest show and you ask an honest interview. And I'll give you an honest day's work and an honest answer, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know John Ritter from Adam.
Mm.
Ritter Schmitter. Doesn't matter to me one little bit. I've got fake legs and real feet. I have fake legs and real feet.
Wow.
That's the it's a medical miracle.
Yeah.
They've stretched the tendon so thin. It's a high wire act from my groin all the way down to my ankles.
So you're only going to be on the show for 4 weeks.
Only 4 weeks before I buy the farm. Yes. My doctors have actually given me 3 hours to live.
How do you feel about being used as a pawn in this ABC ratings sweepstakes?
I tell you, if the money's greener than snot, it doesn't matter to me at all. That's all that really makes me tick. It's just the paycheck. And to be honest with you, my Rockford money was spent probably 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Spent it all. Made a lot. Spent a lot. And I can't remember my lines. So they've given me this contract and agreed that I can ad-lib all my scenes.
Oh, nice.
And the only thing I really have to start every scene with is, howdy, kids. That's all
so,
it is.
So what's your character going to be? You're going to be the grandfather.
They explained to me. I know nothing about the show. Never watched it. Never watched any of Schmitter's work. And they've told me.
Ritter.
Pardon me?
Ritter.
Ritter, yeah.
With an R.
Jim Ritter.
Well, hey, listen. Who are you voting for Fairfax?
Chap Peterson. Chap Peterson in a heartbeat. Love his bow ties. Good man, good boy. Good family man. Stand-up guy. Chap Peterson. This is James Garner. I hope you'll do what I do. On voting day, vote for Chap Peterson. My catchphrase?
What is it?
Empty grandma's pan.
What?
Empty grandma's pan. That's my catchphrase.
Empty grandma's pan.
Empty grandma's pan. That's going to be my comedy line. And howdy, kids. That's all I need to worry about.
All right, I'll give you a laugh track with that.
Another one that I'm have to say. Something smells like butter.
All right, give me one of those. I'll give you a laugh track.
All right, very good.
All right.
Howdy, kids. Time to empty grandma's pan. Well, holy magoli, something smells like butter. Oh, man, there's still a lot of swelling. Kids, come a little closer. I can't smell you. Boy, I tell you, I feel sorry that Jim Ritter's not alive.
That's the John Ritter.
John Ritter?
John Ritter. John.
8 simple rules for trying to stay alive.
And he was on the show Three's Company.
I only pretend to be asleep. That's basically it. Actually, I'm sleeping right now.
You're sleeping now?
It's an amazing accomplishment for me to make it through a day, actually, when I have real feet and artificial legs. I think I'm a medical miracle.
What?
Look at these tendons. That's incredible,
wow.
Isn't it? That's why I walk kind of stiff-legged, like, with my button-down shirts and my big Texas belt buckle.
You could be on the Discovery Channel.
Howdy, this is James Garner. It's time to empty Grandma's pan, kid. Gather around. Let me look at your fingernails. Fantastic.
What would you say?
That one needs a scraper, too.
And our remaining moments. Rob, do you have the dun-dun-da-da? I'd like you just, because I know that the family of John Ritter may be listening.
Well, I think you should know that I know comedy just about as well as I know anything, and I'm going to be doing my own comedy writing, all right?
Oh. We are...
pick your friends and pick your nose, but don't pick your nose as friend, or your friend's nose.
We are broadcasting to the state of California now.
Very good.
With his first official thoughts about replacing John Ritter. Here is James Garner.
Well, howdy there.
Howdy, kids.
It's time to empty Grandma's pan and welcome James. I'm very delighted to join the cast of this fantastic show, 8 Simple Rules for Doing Something. I'd like to say I don't intend to replace Jim Ritter. I just basically want to let everyone know I'm going to bring my homespun charm to the role. Charm that you enjoyed on the Rockford Files and those fantastic westerns of the 1960s. And I'll tell you, my most recent work on HBO, I know you like Barbarians at the Gate. James Garner saying, I prefer cash. Cash on the barrelhead. No need to write those Warner Brothers checks to me. Just send me some cash. Give it to me and we'll all empty Grandma's pan and have a good time.
Supposed to be speaking about John Ritter here.
Jim Ritter was a fine, fine, talented actor. And I'm not here to replace him. I'm just here to keep the show going and keep the memory of a wonderfully talented man who did that fantastic show known as Two's Joker's Wild. There we go. That's right. Joe's Joker's Wild.
Joker's Wild.
With very, very talented Susie Quattro.
That's right. And Joyce Halfwit. Yeah.
So I urge everybody to bow their head and remember a wonderfully talented character actor, John Ritter. Mm-hmm. And welcome me, James Garner, into your humble home. Every Thursday night, we will empty Grandma's pan.
Howdy, kid.
Welcome. I'm fantastic.
It's like the most left-field choice you possibly could have had. Let me just ask you one other thing.
I promise to end every episode with a really funny, bigoted joke.
Okay. One last thing.
Howdy, kid.
I think I know where you line up politically.
Well, I tell you, what I line up is not my spine because it's as crooked as a golf course.
How do you feel about the current problems befalling Rush Limbaugh?
Well, my heart goes out to him because, you know, frankly, he's my political guru.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, he says some straight talk, he says some good things, and I tend to look the other way when a man gets plunged into the depravity of drugs and alcohol. And I will tell you.
What about those who would say that he is no better than a common a junkie on the street?
Well, I think you have to ignore that. I like Rush. I believe in Rush and that other fellow you have on your show, Mr. O'Reilly. I tell you, this is a no-spin zone right now, but my head is spinning right now. I got a little vertigo when I stand up for long periods of time.
Do you?
I really do. This morning, my BM had 2 of my ribs in it. Oh, I'm in a lot of pain right now. Actually, my internal organs are turning to a kind of a sticky jelly. That's all it is right now. You never know what's going to come out, but the constipation is hurt, too.
Well, we've heard it all. We've heard your feelings on John Ritter. Mm-hmm. We've heard what your role is going to be, and your take, because you're a famous conservative.
You know, sometimes when I cry, evaporated milk comes out. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening to my body, but something inside of me. I might have Ebola.
And the good news is James Garner will be on TV, will be alive for 4 more weeks.
I can't feel my fingers.
All right, Jimmy, thank you for coming by.
What a pleasure. Howdy, kids. Grandma's pan. This is James Garner. I've had a good old time with each and every one of you. All right? Let's wrap it up. I can't wait to see my Red Sox play tonight. Looking forward to it.
Good luck in Game 7.
Yeah. Game 7 is going to be tonight. It's on to the Cubbies.
Game 7.
James Garner.
There he
Garner
goes.
For
everybody.
Yeah. Wow.
We got a break. Beautiful woman, everybody. Guys, just let me say, J.O. time.
Oh, yeah.
Beach towel time. Nancy's coming on the show in just a second.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want.
Wasn't that the one I need?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna get a shot?
No shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Hey, how do you do that, man? Take all those pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This is ghetto-licious.
They wish that they were prettier. Don and Mike.
All right. Long distance directly. All right, give me 15 seconds before we talk to Nancy.
Okay, what are you going to do?
Just take a call from Becky. Hi, Becky.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. You're on the air, Becky.
Hey, you know, Mike's impression of James Garner is so good. I wish he could play him in a movie because he just nails that impression.
Yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate that, but to do that, I'd have to be probably a little thinner and also maybe 30 years older.
What about animated James Garner?
You know, there you go. Now we'll making an animated James Garner cartoon.
And one more thing. James Garner is a well-known liberal Democrat. So, you know, I don't think he'd like Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, really? You know, we always think, I turned our microphone.
Hello?
I mean, I know she had that nice stuff to say to you.
Yeah. Right.
But, hey, let me just say, hey, bitch, it's a comedy
show. Oh, God.
Okay, it's a comedy show. Really, who cares if he's a communist? Really, who cares?
I just thought it'd be a nice factoid. I wasn't trying to be
critical. A factoid. Here's a factoid. Eat me. There you go. Many of you were asking for the angry me to come back.
Yeah, there you go. Your team didn't lose last night. You should be happy.
No, we just did a bit, and it pisses me off. Some dumb C word waits on hold for 19 minutes because James Garner is very liberal.
Well, we base our James Garner on, if you want to really peer behind the curtain, because Don and I kind of like work these things out together a little bit,
right.
And we base our James Garner on a movie called
Murphy's Romance,
where he's just this conservative guy. It sounds better for him to be a conservative.
Yeah, anyway,
he's
a little guy. It's just a joke.
Yeah. Don't overthink it.
Mike, your impression was great, and the animatronic would really none of that was on the screen. All that was on the screen,
right.
Outraged.
Yes.
He's really a liberal.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Right, who gives two flying F's?
Keep in mind all the stuff that was said in that last segment, and that's the one fact she had trouble with.
I know.
She had a problem. She had no problem with James Garner changing the trays and the plates with the
empty grandma's pan.
I heard he doesn't really have artificial legs
and real feet. <Yeah. laughs> But she's upset that he's really a liberal.
That came from the mind that's inside a very big head.
Keep calling, honey. Joining us now. Oh, calm down. To respect James Nance. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, I was just calling to tell you guys that James Garner is a flaming liberal.
Here he is.
There he goes.
From the NFL Today on CBS.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Oh, James Garner.
James Nance. Nancy, before we get to the stuff, I want to just tell you, in the pick segment, we are right on you. We are one game behind you now.
I just heard from Charlie I was a three-game leader.
We each have 11 right, and you have 12 right.
That is the sheet we've just been handed.
I do not like the way Charlie is compiling this, though. It's very difficult for us to see our record.
A couple of NFL things, Nancy, if you don't mind. I mean, we normally like
competition. Yes,
we normally like talking about you ripping your shirt off and running down Fifth Avenue and stuff like that. But I had this one. There's three quick NFL things. You'll probably talk about this on your show. I think it's a huge story that the guy that Bill Romanowski beat up in practice is now suing Bill Romanowski. And the guy says he wants to come back and play for the Raiders again. Mm-hmm. So you guys will be on that, right, on Sunday?
Well, if you want it in the show, I'll run down from here after I get done with this segment, and I'll make sure we put it in the show.
All right, put that in the
show.
That's
a pretty big
story. Anything else you want? I mean, we're still kind of formatting it. What else would you like me to put in?
All right, here's what else I want to know. Denver Broncos. Jake Plummer is out 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You got Steve.
Everybody knows that.
Yes, but Steve Berline. Can he get it done?
So you want a profile of Steve Berline?
No, I want someone.
He wants some discussion.
I just want people. Here's the thing. With Steve Berline, in the off season, he looks like a great backup quarterback. And really, he probably is if he has to play a quarter.
May I make a request of Mr. Nance?
Yeah.
I'd like to say, even though I know it's a football show, but I really would like, really on Sunday, you to maybe devote about 15, 20 minutes to the Curse of the Bambino.
You haven't had enough of that yet, huh?
No, I'm in recovery. I'm in recovery, Jim. Bear with me.
By the way, Berline, you know, is a serviceable backup, and he played last week, and he led him to a victory over Pittsburgh.
Yes, but it was one game. And Jim, you sit there and you watch all the games going on at once, right?
10 at a time. If they're, you know, however many are on the air, I don't miss it down.
All right, I try to flip around and watch them, and I don't have the luxury of all 10 screens, but I go back and forth. That was one boring-ass game. Steve Berline doesn't have the get-up-and-go to make that offense get-up-and-go. Just my thought. That hurts Denver.
Yeah, well, you know, so much of their success this season with Plummer, I don't want to get too technical, but has been on rollout situations, you know, where, you know, he's throwing on the run, and it's really worked in their system, having Plummer come up from Arizona, sign him as a free agent. They're going to miss him.
How long?
I think they lose this week.
How long have you been taking OxyContin?
No comment. He's got a new strategy where he doesn't answer us when we give him one of those awkward ones.
Hey, Jim, you're a big CBS guy. You seem to know a lot about the lineup. Explain this one to me. Last night, it's 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, and I'm watching the ball game, and I see the Red Sox are up 2-0, and I think, well, I'm going to switch away from this and watch the show, that one of the few shows my wife and I agree that we both like, because we have different.
Tell the truth. You pulled away from it because my team.
I know
was
where
winning.
You're going with this. You turned it on
CSI, and
much to your amazement, it was a repeat.
I seen it already.
There's a great explanation for that.
You know, and Jim, all it is cowardly programming by CBS.
You know, I don't think so. I think it's very. Why would you want to waste one of your new episodes on a night where the whole country is riveted by Game 7 between the Red Sox and Yankees? It started on Wednesday, and I believe ABC was the first to start pulling down the program.
And that's who you want to follow is ABC.
Well, you know, hey, listen. You're not going to take people away from the baseball game to watch a new episode of CSI.
Au contraire, you're talking to a heterosexual man with a very high testosterone count, and I would have gone...
Yes, I know I'm talking to Mike.
I would have gone back and forth, but I did want to be able to see my CSI.
And you only wanted to see...
I think it was a very, very sound strategy there to just pull down the programming that was slated to go in there. You know you're going to get the stuffing beat out of you, so you know you save that week, you save that piece of programming.
Well, then why doesn't CBS just...
They called me up and asked, what should we do here? I said, pull the show.
Then why doesn't CBS just sign off altogether on Tuesday nights?
Why would we do that? We're actually winning on Tuesday nights now.
Or Wednesday night.
You know, because of our friends from King of Queens, we're doing exceptionally well on the Wednesday night.
What about
this
Friday?
I like this new dynamic where we go into the CBS schedule.
Yeah.
This is good.
Joan of Arcadia, your new favorite show.
That is on tonight. You're right. I'll watch that tonight.
I know what you're doing tonight.
So Jim, you actually...
Little Don is going to be doing here tonight.
Yeah, excuse me for watching the CBS program, Jim.
We're happy to have you there.
You're loyal.
Friday nights are doing well.
And I want to tell you...
Saturday is, you know... We've got a great show there anchoring the night there with the district. And
it's a hot debate. It's a hot debate in my house because don't think that, and Jim, I've been married for 22 years to the same woman, God bless her. Don't think that there's not a real level of tension. She says it's George Lopez for her. And
go.
I say, honey, it's Joan of Arcadia.
Right.
That's why we got two TVs.
Tough choice to make.
So last night was one of the nights that we could have come together.
Oh, my
God. To watch the Magic Box, but right. No, CSI wasn't on. Hey, what about now that all the Rush Limbaugh stuff about Donovan McNabb is done and people are looking at him just as a quarterback, not as a guy of any specific race, Jim, would you bench him or would you keep playing him? Because he has not...
I cannot bench him. No. It'd be like taking Nomar Garcia Parra out of the Red Sox lineup when he was struggling during that series. There were some people saying he just got to, you got to sit. I think it goes in Game Six, has what, four hits. You can't take Donovan out of the lineup. No.
Who is?
Well, what about? I mean, physically though, is he? Is he up to par physically? I mean, could it be that issue? I mean,
it's a very simple thing in Philadelphia, and they got too aggressive in overhauling the roster. They had a good thing going there. They had a winning attitude, winning momentum going. But you look at it in the last 2 years, they've got 20 new faces on that roster, 20 players with 2 years or less experience in the NFL. That's almost, 40% of your roster. Are new guys who have not been a part of that winning attitude around there. And like 9 of those 20 were free agents, not even draft picks. So, you're really asking a lot to take the core group, the foundation of your team and, you know, the protection layers that you have, guys are going to just in the trenches try to win games for you, the unheralded player, completely overhauling them. I think they just get too aggressive there.
Are you glad that, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are still engaged?
You know, that was something I lost a couple of nights sleep over that.
Oh, Jim, I'm asking.
Of course, they were up here for the playoffs, and we didn't get a chance to go out or anything. But
Jim, who do you blame? Who do you blame for the Red Sox meltdown yesterday?
Thank you, Don. Thank you for asking.
I am still trying to figure that one out.
If you had to pick one,
but Jim, do you follow all sports and you follow baseball?
Well, I have to say that when they walked out on the season in '94, they lost me for a long time.
Hey!
These playoffs. These playoffs have been so magnificent.
Hey, Jim,
I have been riveted.
All right, let me ask you that.
But hold on. Will you be riveted to the Yankees and the Marlins?
No.
Nobody will. No.
Thank you. No.
I'll be watching a new episode of CSI next Thursday.
Okay.
No, but I think Grady Little, Jim, just broke my heart last night. And I know we always look for scapegoats as Red Sox fans, but I don't see what he did last night. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, you know, there's a lot of symmetry there, you know, not only the curse for, you know, each team, the Cubs and the Red Sox, but they both were basically 5 outs away with a 3-run lead, and hey, you're 5-2 and you've got Martinez on the mound, or even when it's 4-0 and Pedro's pitching, you know, you gotta think that, this is going to be their year.
Yeah.
It's just a devastating loss if you're a Red Sox fan. New York, of course, where I am right now, it's just going crazy with excitement. What a night to be in New York last night. I mean, it was, you know, I decided this thing was getting really late in the going. I knew this was such a momentous occasion. I had to go watch it somewhere where it would always be a memory. So
Where'd you go to church?
I went to Mickey Mantle's.
Oh, wow.
Mickey Mantle's and I watched the extra innings from Mickey's.
There you go.
And,
you know, Mike loves the Red Sox.
I'm a diehard. Yeah,
well, my heart goes out to you because, you know, I have no rooting interest.
Isn't it rich?
Thank you, Don. I know we're revisiting the theme of earlier in the show. And, Jim, I appreciate your kind words also. On behalf of myself and all the Red Sox fans, let me just say, never say die. I will see you in spring training when I go down to another 7 spring training games.
You also said, though, that the Yankees are the best team.
The Yankees were the better team last night, and they deserve the win.
Well, I mean, you know, it's painful when you're a fan, you know, and you're a fan and you sit through training camp. You sit through 162 games. You go through the comeback in the series to win against Oakland.
You're making him cry. I'm crying.
And it's a long way to get back to where they were last night. With
no ass, Jim. No ass, my friend.
Could be another decade, Jim, but who knows? I'll be there.
Century.
I will be there.
You're a good fan. You know, you're a great fan.
Yes, I am, Jim.
Jimmy, what do you got on your show this week? Are you guys inside or outside this week?
We've got we're going to do the story on the guy that Romanowski hit.
Yeah. Okay.
We're going to do 15 minutes on the Curse of the Bambino.
Very good.
Okay. I just asked, are you inside or...
New late editions. We're also going to do something on Steve Berline. Who is this guy?
Are you inside or outside, Jimmy?
We will be outside, weather permitting. We were inside again last week.
I know, and the show works better inside. I just want to tell you, you want to see on your show, you want to see you and Boomer and Dan and Dion. We don't want to see the people that watch the show because we are the people that watch the show. You watch television generally to see people who look better than you look.
How about the guy you sent down to the show last year that was holding up the sign?
All right, he's the perfect example.
I thought you would have liked that guy, though, in one of our shots. I think we did have him framed in one of our shots.
I think you did, and he was not a good-looking man. I mean, not a lot of us are, Jim.
Right, exactly. That's why we're on radio.
So here we go. Here are the games, though, and make sure you watch Nancy's show. It's Sunday at 12 noon. 11 o'clock Central Time.
Coast to coast on the CBS television network.
There you go. And listen, let's talk about what's happening with you. How you guys doing? I mean, how's your numbers? How you doing? You're
okay? Good. What was that all about with James Garner when I came on the phone there?
We were
agitated.
We were doing a bit with James Garner. You believe this, Jim, that he's replacing the dead guy? John Ritter. That they're replacing John Ritter with James Garner.
I didn't know that.
How dumb is that?
Well, I mean, I don't. You mean he's going to take over the same character?
No.
Don't lie to Mr.
Yes,
Nash.
He's going to play the same character.
No, he's playing the grandfather.
He's going to be Katie Seagal. Katie Seagal's husband.
He's a great actor.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. Very talented actor.
I mean, he's got a lot of talent.
Let me see, Jimmy. Gosh, I don't know. You already do the basketball, and you already do the... Okay.
I'm a little disappointed I didn't get called in to pinch hit on that show.
I think it's time to expand, Jim. I think it's time for you to move into series television.
See, the thing is, with CBS, Jim already does all the big events. I'm trying to think if there was anything that he doesn't do, but he does the Final Four, and he does the golf, and he does the Super Bowl, and he does the NFL. But I'm just trying to think, if there was someone at CBS... Oh, I got the perfect thing. One of those 60 Minutes guys, they're all hanging on by a thread. Let's say one of them goes down, and you get the call, and they say,
You think he's the next guy to replace maybe Morley?
Yeah, they say, Jim, we need you for 4 weeks. Would you do it?
Of course I would.
There you go.
Sure.
What makes you think I haven't been asked already?
Uh-huh.
You're funny,
Mr. CBS.
You crack me up. All right, here we go.
Hey, listen, I'm here to serve.
There you go. Good for you.
I'm a CBS guy through and through.
We're going to pick them until they scab and bleed. We're playing for charity.
It's just getting close now. I only have a one-game lead.
Nancy's charity is very worthy. It's the Three Amigos Foundation, and you go to WJFK.com, click on the Don and Mike icon, and you'll get a link to Jim's site. Please go to it and... send money. And we're playing for charity. We have the five biggest games. Jimmy, we'll start with... Oh, this is maybe the best game of the week, Jimmy, I think. Tennessee at Carolina. Who do you like?
Man, I always have to lead off. You know, that's a lot of pressure.
You don't have to.
You know, that makes me...
Do you want to go last?
I like to go to the bottom of the order here today.
All right.
We'll do that.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Tennessee at Carolina. You heard it here. Carolina Panthers.
I have to agree with you. Carolina Panthers, absolutely.
Jim.
I'm going to open up a little two-game lead at this point as I take Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
All right, and why? I mean, I know Steve McNair is great, but why? Carolina's pretty good, too.
I just think, you know, Carolina has a tremendous defense. It was a great win by them last week at Indianapolis, but I just think that there's such a disparity when you match up the two offenses. Carolina just runs, you know, plods along and hands it off to Stephen Davis and Deshaun Foster. But I just see McNair and Cuffy right now making plays to win the game. And that should be one of the best games of the week.
All right, this game now really doesn't matter a lot, but to people in the NFC East, so we're going to throw it in. Philadelphia at the New York Football Giants. I'll take the Giants. Mike.
I'm bummed that this game at this stage of the season doesn't mean a lot, but I'm going to also go with the Giants in this game.
You know, I keep going with the Giants, keeping the hope alive that one of these days they'll snap out of it, and they've been dreadful so far, but I think they'll win this game.
All right, so
I'll go, we'll clean sweep it there. I'll take the New York Football Giants.
Okay. Now this is a potential upset. Green Bay at St. Louis.
Go ahead, pick it then. Pick the upset.
I want to, but Brett Favre doesn't play good in a dome. I don't even know who's favored in this.
Who did you call him?
I said Brett Favre.
I thought you said Brent Favre.
No, Brett
Favre. I thought I heard an N in there.
No, he wouldn't make that mistake.
No, Brett Favre does not play well in a dome. Jim,
yep.
I know you're not a gambler, but who's favored in this? Who's?
I'm sure the Rams are. The Rams are probably 4 or 5 point favorites, I would think.
Green Bay on the road. Mike.
You're taking Green Bay?
Yes.
I have to go with St. Louis.
Jimmy.
It's going to be the Rams by a couple of touchdowns.
All right, this is Jimmy, everybody.
You are, well, I don't know what's gotten into you. This whole CSI thing last night, nothing on the air, has just wrecked your Friday. You're yelling at women on the air. You know, it almost happened. You're making crazy football picks.
Crazy, and the crazy escapades happen. Hey,
how do you feel about Arnold?
That's pretty great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, comment on the Arnold Schwarzenegger gubernatorial.
That's pretty great, isn't it, Jim?
I think it was tremendous. What? How could you not love it?
Yeah.
Only in America.
Yeah, very good answer.
Right. Here you go. Washington at Buffalo. Buffalo was on fire this year, and now they've really tailed off. You know, one of these teams is going to show that they're a good team.
Well, I don't think that Washington has been a disappointment. I don't think you could, you know, haven't been happy the last couple of weeks, but I mean, you're making a statement there like the Redskins are going to suddenly play a good game. They've had some good games this year.
I'll take Buffalo. Mike?
This is Washington's week. I think they snap back, and they do prove that they are a very good football team.
Of all the, and I just happened to see this as I was thumbing through the paper today. They had the point spreads in the paper.
Yeah, oh yeah, you just happened past that.
And it said something about Buffalo -3.
I can't read those things.
I don't understand the whole plus minus.
I don't understand
thing.
The whole thing either.
Yeah. but there's something jumped out at you when you saw that?
I thought that maybe the word was cover. I think Buffalo will win and will cover only because it's a crazy line. I think Washington, this should be either a pick'em game or a small favorite for Washington. They've been just so awful at Buffalo offensively, so I'm just very suspicious of why they right now say the Bills are favorites. That means to me somebody knows something somewhere. I'll take Buffalo.
Right, and then Monday night, it's Kansas City at Oakland. And we'll take Kansas City.
Would you guys like us to run first run episodes of Raymond, or is this game too big?
No, listen. The thing is, I'll probably be over to CSI Miami by 10 o'clock if it's a blowout. And I'm afraid it will be, Jim. I've heard the game is not sold out in Oakland. And I don't get that. How, even though the Raiders stink, how you don't sell out when you have an undefeated team coming in. You got a chance to see Dante Hall and
you don't have to worry about the game. You just worry about Emily Proctor.
Well,
on Monday night on CBS.
Hey, they've changed.
There you go.
Have you noticed they've changed her hair?
She is. I was in love with her last year. I am more in love with her this year.
I'm not.
You guys both would be very qualified to be our CBS house booth announcer. It does the promos. You both have that just that magical voice. Did I just audition you two for a moment here?
Yeah, sure.
Could you one at a time just say something like, and show me a little bit of range here that this is CBS.
Tonight on CBS, Emily Proctor with her blonde hair.
I want the station ID, you know, the eyeball and just a simple...
You want just this is CBS?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it now. I will forward this tape to the appropriate people.
Right, Don, you want
to
go first? Let me go first, and then Don will go. I'll do this is CBS, and now Don will go.
That's pretty good. Mike actually does.
That was your best.
Well, that was my best, but I know Don will probably do a little better than I did.
This CBS. You guys.
It's me, Satan. For me, I'm the guy that got you the kid.
Do you know that when I first came here back in the 80s, because of the union laws and everything, that guy did the, at the bottom and top of every hour, over the eyeball, he did that line live.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you...
Oh, you're killing me with that.
Watch Ernie tonight at 11.
How about say the promo gym show? Go ahead.
The NFL Today on CBS.
What are you doing?
With my client, Jim Mance. All right, Jim.
All right, Jim.
There we go. That's out of it.
You're back.
Hey, Jim, can we put you on that machine, though, just for a second?
Yeah, this will be interesting.
Put Jim on the Satan machine?
And then you can, and now promo your show. Promo your show, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim. You're on it. Now, could he hear the effect through the phone?
No, he couldn't hear the effect?
No. Can you say, hi, this is Jim Nance on CBS, and then we'll play you the tape back.
Go ahead, Jim.
Jimmy?
Is he there? Did we lose him? Did you hang up on him?
He must be there somewhere.
Oh, Jim, you got him?
Now he'll hear you.
All right, now, he'll hear us.
Hey, Jimmy?
Where'd you guys go?
Hey, if you say that one more time, we're having technical problems. If you say it one more time, we can record it and play it back so you can hear it.
All right, now just promote your show. Go ahead.
This is Jim Nance on CBS.
This is CBS.
What happened to it, Rob? It was better before.
I don't know.
It was in Satan's setting before. What are you doing?
Different with the phone.
Oh, I see what happened. Okay, now it'll
work. Okay, one more time, Jim.
Here we go.
This is CBS.
No, he sounded normal, Rob.
Oh, Rob.
This board is changing its settings. Try it now.
Try it again.
Wow.
Okay, good. That's a key. Can you rewind the tape so we can play it for him?
Jim, is there any doubt that we do wonders for your career when you come on the show?
Now that we'll play it. See, because Jim couldn't hear it on the phone.
Right.
So now we'll play it. Here it is. Roll it, Rob.
Big loud.
Roll it. CD one.
Queuing.
It's queuing. Queuing.
This is technology.
We're owned by CBS, incidentally, Jim. No. Okay, go. Okay. Now?
No.
There you are, Jim. Jim?
Now we have to put his phone back on the
Jim?
End. I'm here.
There he is. All right, listen.
You didn't pick the game. You Kansas City and Oakland.
Kansas City, Oakland. I'll take Kansas City.
Kansas Mike. City for me, too.
I'm taking Oakland.
Oh!
Wow.
How about it?
Wow.
How about that?
They never sell out at Oakland. I mean, where have you been?
Are you going to have the balls to make that pick on your show on Sunday?
Well, you know, there's 48 hours. There's going to be a game time decision.
All right, Jimmy.
We are going to pick that game, though. I know that. It's one of the five we're going to pick, so I'm wavering.
All right,
but as of right now.
Those of you listening to us in the Bay Area, you just heard here on this Pissant radio show, he picked Oakland. But wait until he gets on the Columbia Broadcasting System
on
Sunday.
The national spotlight. Watch out.
I tell you guys, I'm going to give you guys a little pop here, even pop in my show. Last year, of course, for the AFC title game, we were live with the NFL Today right inside Oakland Alameda Coliseum. And I was taking my walk around the field before the game. I cannot tell you how many people screamed out your names.
There you go. Nice. We appreciate that, Jim. Thank you.
No, I mean, you have a huge following there in Oakland. And I was very moved by it, that these folks would actually, know me from the Don and Mike show. Nothing to do with CBS.
Of course they would.
Our Don and Mike.
Hey, Jim, it's me, Satan, again.
Oh, no.
How you doing, dude? How's Time Daily doing?
God.
She's a client.
He's not speaking to Satan, I don't think.
Speak to me, Jim. You pray to me every night.
Oh, no.
My career.
All right, Jimmy.
Look at this.
All right, that's it. There he is, Jim Nance, CBS.
Thanks again, Jim.
And we will see you. Hold on.
Guys, but we'll see you next week.
Hold on.
I got one more for you, Jim. Amy Brenneman has hooves.
Oh, God. It's all CBS.
Yes.
CBS. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, great talking to you. We'll see you next week.
Have a wonderful weekend there, boys.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
With you.
Bye-bye.
I think we succeeded in exhausting it. And that's always a great accomplishment.
There's Nancy.
There's a small part of me that thinks that when he's done with those segments that he just sits for a minute and shakes his head and says, what am I doing?
He has no idea.
What the hell am I doing? Yeah.
It's a good thing we're not on there.
Yeah. Right.
So he doesn't have any idea what's going on.
Sure.
Absolutely. Although, who knows? On the other hand, he may just be, like a bobblehead doll on his way to whatever next, dumb DJ phone call thing is. Ryan, we're running CBS.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
That's me. He made it up.
There you go. Tonight he's DJing the CBS prom.
Absolutely. He's a company guy.
I tell you, after working here with this group, CBS stands for Can't Buy S.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, it should be WBS.
Mm-hmm.
Won't Buy S. Microphone broken? Scotch tape.
Bingo, baby.
Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz's news and comments right now. Buzz, what is your lead story today?
It's a meeting of the minds. Governor Arnold meets President W.
Yeah, that was a good photo op. I've seen that in all of the newspapers today.
45 minutes. Imagine if you had a microphone in there, what we all could learn.
Imagine.
Now, really, seriously, who do you think is the driver in that conversation? I got to think, inside that room,
uh-huh.
Arnold is the driver.
Mm-hmm.
That Bush is starstruck by Arnold.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean,
I think you're absolutely right.
I think that Arnold walks in there.
I can tell you something. I know you're a big fan. And then Bush probably talked about Terminator.
I mean,
man, I tell you, that's just incredible. I love that. I love it when that liquid metal guy comes to life.
I mean, we're kidding about it, but I bet that's how it plays out.
Yeah. Are you really a robot?
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
Yeah, that's professional. Robot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
How you doing out there?
Smooth.
You ever seen that? One of those days where it just seems like everybody's getting on your case, from your teacher all the way down to your best girlfriend?
Yeah, today.
Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Grady Little.
I found a way to get out of it.
How was that?
Yeah, great. Let me tell you about it.
I say bravo to you, sirs. Bravo to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Cyber Buzz's new show. Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid. GNC and other select retailers try it today. Veramax. 1-888 try VMAX.
All right.
And now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Okay. You're a muscle-bound movie star, and you've just been elected governor of a state that has a credit rating as bad as Mississippi. You've criticized your predecessor, and you've made big promises about how things are going to change.
Yay!
You got the last guy recalled, and now there are at least two campaigns afoot to recall you.
Yay!
So now, what do you do?
What do I do?
You ask for help.
Yes, I do.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger met yesterday with President Bush.
And the Terminator... W.
They talked at length about the long list of California's problems.
California, Buzz.
Yes, California.
I'll California.
Try to learn to say it that way.
Now I want to ask something. Do all of the governors of the states get? Do all 49 other governors get the same?
Nine.
To get the same pass?
Nine.
To come meet with the CEO?
Not a chance.
I mean, like,
that they get to go into the Bush's office with the circle office, the Oval.
If things are wrapped up in. Mike is real tired.
Arnold.
Mike just dropped the F-bomb.
That's Arnold. That's rare.
Watch your language.
If things are effed up in Pennsylvania, they wouldn't be in a major movie with all these sequels and
you
things.
You just said the F-word.
I said the F-word. Yes,
you said the F-word. If things were the word he said in Pennsylvania, would the governor of Pennsylvania be able to call up, get W in his office?
No way.
Right.
Right.
So exactly. I maintain what I asked you when the story was teased.
Mm-hmm.
Who's driving the conversation? When it's two important people meeting each other.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to tell you about all of my films and my great film work. That's really exciting. It's going to be such.
Yeah, that's great. Man, I tell you, I just love it. I love it when you kick the bad guy's ass.
I mean, you got to know that's how it's happening.
Yeah, I'm sure it was funny.
That if George had a little more on the ball,
right,
someone would hip him and say, now, when you meet him, you know that pretend confidence we give you?
Yeah.
You know when you look in the mirror and you listen to those Tony Robbins tapes?
That's right.
When you meet him, you got to say to yourself, you're better than he is.
Did you like that scene when you were on the Angry Red Planet in Total Recall?
Because you're the President of the United States.
Did you really get in that fight with Sharon Stone?
Thank you, George. That's great. Let's have a hot dog.
Army. So he folds.
Yeah.
Bush immediately folds to the idiot as soon as they open the door.
Man, it's so good to see you. You are so big and strong.
Well, Arnie says he made no specific requests. Quoting him, it was not the right time, but I will. This is just the beginning.
Could I have an ashtray?
He says they did agree. They have much in common.
Is there a chance I could take some of your stationery back to California? Go ahead.
Quoting Arnold again, we both married well. Some accuse us both of not being able to speak the language.
Who said that, Bush?
That's Arnold said that about him and Bush.
Arnold.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I'd be great as that cop that turns into a robot.
What Bush has to gain from all this is votes. He lost California in the last presidential election to Al Gore.
Can you help me meet John Cena?
Meanwhile...
Oh, the wrestler.
Yeah.
The wrestler.
Meanwhile, Arnold's already being asked to return to Tinseltown. He's been invited to lead Hollywood's Christmas parade on November 30th.
What, was John Stamos busy?
Apparently so. You see, Arnold once told the town's honorary mayor about
his first night in Hollywood, sitting on a curb, watching that same parade, and wondering if he'd ever be successful enough to lead it.
I've been telling you guys, both of you guys, this, and you've not seen them yet. I know Buzz hasn't seen them all yet, but let me just tell you. Anybody that's like taped or TiVo'd Letterman for the last, I guess, week, I'm going to ruin this for you, but it's too funny. He's done a bit a couple of times where he says, now let's meet the governor of California.
Right.
And he shows taped highlights of Arnold's career. The first one he had appeared to be what was a softcore porno. Now, I'm sure that it wasn't a porno, but it's Arnold, and it's Arnold like pumping iron Arnold, the big, dumb...
With that dumb haircut that he had?
You know, and I know when I'm saying big, dumb, toothy, well, that's the Arnold of today.
Exactly, but he was even bigger and dumber and toothier.
But he was not as evolved back then.
Right.
So he's sitting there with a woman, and... It's got bad lighting.
Right.
It's got porno lighting. It's done on videotape. Mm-hmm. He's sitting at a table with a woman, and he says, now I'm going to teach... And this is a real clip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach you how to speak English. And he has a carrot. And he puts it in his mouth, and he bites off a piece, and he goes, bite. And then he takes the carrot, and he puts it in the woman's mouth.
God, that's
and
great.
Then she bites it, and she goes... bite, and he goes, yes, good now, and he takes the carrot and puts it in her mouth and then says, no bite. And then what he does is he slides the carrot in and out of her mouth.
Oh, dear.
And he says, that's very good.
Fantastic.
So that's the first clip.
Oh, wow.
Second clip.
He does it twice. Yeah. Same show. He does the governor.
No, this is like a later in the week.
Okay,
Another night.
Yeah.
Says it's time for the Arnold Schwarzenegger moment of the night. Arnold is now, we got a clip of Arnold working out. And this is from Pumping Iron. And he's on his back. Because he's been lifting.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the workout bench,
right.
And he's got a T-shirt on that says Arnold is number one, and he's laying back. So he's got that whole gravity thing happening
right.
When you're laying on a bench and you're looking up,
right.
And the camera's looking at him, and he says, "That's a good workout." And somebody hands him a big joint.
Right.
And he takes this joint, and he does a monster hit.
Sure.
I mean, it's the... And then he goes... So I'm thinking, now they've got a tape of him doing this.
They've got a library of him, yeah.
Well, the other night, I turn it on again. Letterman says, okay, here you go. Here's the latest Arnold Schwarzenegger. Meet the candidate.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, Arnold will meet some constituents and try to get their vote.
Right.
And again, it's the Pumping Iron era Arnold.
Right.
Bad videotape, but obviously true. He's dancing with a woman that appears to be a European woman.
Right.
And he's disco dancing, and he's looking at the camera, and he's smiling.
Does he have the big bell bottoms on?
Yeah, he does. And he's got you know, the bad hair that we talked about and the big teeth. And at one point, he pulls her closer to him so that the woman's back is to the camera. And Arnold is looking at the camera, although he's not really looking. He's dancing with her. With both hands, he grabs each of her ass cheeks and starts dry humping her. It's simulated sex.
Right.
As he's doing it, he looks at the camera as if to say, hey!
Hey, look at me.
That's right, I'm doing this.
I'm the governor of California.
Here's, first off, fantastic bit.
Yeah.
Second, I really have to know, anybody that's seen that, more so with the carrot thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? Where did the people on the David Letterman show?
It could be Pumping Iron, couldn't it?
No, because...
I mean, there's Pumping Iron's like kind of a pseudo-documentary.
Yeah, but it's... I've seen Pumping Iron, and I've seen the scene with him.
He is not... I mean, he might think Pumping Iron makes him look good, but I don't think it does.
But this looks like it's a different quality. Like the Pumping Iron clips are obviously film quality. This is...
Right.
Videotape quality. And anybody that's seen Letterman do this bit, he's run it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It is just fall out of your chair onto the ground. Funny when you
I think there's a lot more where that came from.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bite. And then he puts it in her mouth, and it's so much like simulated oral
mm-hmm.
that as he puts it in his mouth, he goes, no bite. And then just back and forth and back and forth. Then you hear him say, ha, good.
Good.
Good, yeah.
They're good.
So good. We have to know where this tape came from. The tape with him with the carrots.
Arnold.
And the girl with the carrots.
We must have it.
If you know, you got to
call it. We must put it in our archive.
It
must
be ours. It's just too bad. Nobody watches Letterman and frankly, a lot of nights I fast forward through it, too, if he's got like a boring guest on or something.
Right.
But that first 15 minutes of Letterman, most nights, man, that's go-to stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff like that with Arnold, I guarantee that's funnier than anything Jay Leno will ever, ever do.
No, Jay Leno's too busy out there introducing him.
Campaigning. Yeah.
At his campaign rally.
Hold on here. We may have the answer to the Arnold Carrot question.
Oh, good.
Stefan.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, do you know the name of the movie?
It's Hercules Goes to New York.
Hercules goes to New York.
Because when he came to New York, he ended up with a bunch of prostitutes, and he tried to do that. I mean, I'm never good seeing it. It was a great scene, but I thought, wow, this is on TV. Look at this. And he was, I mean, it was a sexual scene, too. You know how it goes.
Yeah,
there you go. Really? All right, thank you,
Hercules goes to New York.
Well, Robbie, if you make a note.
Hercules.
They'll get it. We'll get it and get some drops ourselves. I mean, that's a bit that's good enough to steal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good enough
to steal. And we can save them forever.
Right. And bite. Now, no bite.
Sehr gut.
Gut.
Jawohl.
Gut.
Arnold's transition from show business to politics may be inspirational. Pat O'Brien, co-anchor of Access Hollywood, says he'd like to run for governor of South Dakota.
Oh, my God.
Someday.
Right.
Quoting him, I'm not quitting my job, but someday I'd like to come back and run for governor. This is a well-thought-out idea, not a whim.
Buzz?
End quote. Yes.
Someday I'd like to kill Pat O'Brien.
There you go.
And now that is a well-thought-out idea.
Not a whim?
You've given it, no, not a whim at all. Okay. You've given it some serious thought.
All right.
And I'm thinking...
Legendary tool, uh-huh. Pat O'Brien.
Way back to when he used to do the NBA games.
Yeah.
I wanted to kill him for a long time.
Absolutely. And his brother, Hugh.
Oh, Brian, right. Hello. And
his other brother, Pat.
Yeah. And their younger brother, Conan.
Oh, very good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I have a little something about that guy that just called in with Hercules to New goes to New York.
Yeah?
I have personally seen that movie. Arnold's voice is dubbed over.
Well, has anybody seen the scene that I'm talking about that Letterman's been running over and over again with the carrot?
No. Have you seen the scene?
Hello?
Sir? Caller?
Yeah, Don.
Have you? Hey, that was Buzz. Have you seen the scene with the carrot, my friend?
No, but I have.
All right.
No.
Thanks, Don.
Disqualified.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hey.
He also used a fake name in that movie, and his voice was so bad they had to dub it over.
So they did. They did dub his voice over.
Yeah, his name was Arnold Strong in the movie.
But have you seen the scene with the carrot?
No, I just saw him come down from heaven. He
okay, yeah. But anybody that's seen Letterman would
know. From heaven.
The scene we're talking about. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, that one clip from where he was dancing with that girl with both cheeks grabbed.
Yeah.
Is from. Say he did some kind of beauty contest, and he was like the Mr. Olympia special guest. But she really looked like she was enjoying that, didn't she?
Yeah, thank you, my friend.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm sure your cold, clammy hands await the touch of your warm genitals. Hello, Don and Mike show.
So poetic.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
We're doing very well.
Tell you one thing. That's deplorable when you go into... to retelling a TV show that, you know, people may have not seen.
Why is that deplorable? And that's a big word for you to use. Congratulations. Why is it deplorable?
It's one thing to retell a joke, I mean, because you're definitely not going to do it justice. But when you go into retelling a TV show,
uh-huh,
you've seen on TV, I mean, it's just boring.
Can I ask you a question? How long have you been on the air?
I'm on the air now.
Hey. Yeah, so you've been on the air, I guess, how long? Like 15 seconds?
Right, but I'm not...
I've been on over 30 years. I think I know what I'm doing. I think it's called relating to the audience.
Or you think...
But I'll tell you something I did see. It's something really great that maybe you can relate to. I was watching, was 203, Court TV.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know what it was. It was a Court TV, and there was some guy who called a radio show and just had the stupidest point of view. And for whatever reason... I don't know what happened, but the guy got some kind of crotch rot, and he had really awful, awful things happen.
Isn't that the one where it actually, in the end, fell clean off?
Yeah, it fell clean off.
The genitals just completely fell off.
And the guy tried to sue the DJ.
He's gone. There we go. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Goodbye, then.
Thanks for listening, though.
I'm going to miss him.
And that word, incidentally, that's deplorable.
Deplorable.
Yes, it is.
What does the... Buzz, would you look it up? Look up deplorable? I mean, I know what it means, too. But
dastardly.
Deplorable.
The kind of thing you'd hate.
Yeah, because we never talk about things that happen on TV on this show.
Right.
That's like something we've never done before.
No, must be somebody that just wanted to get it off his chest.
Deplore, to feel or express grief for, to regret strongly, to consider unfortunate or deserving of disapproval.
No, that's not the one I have. My dictionary says...
What's your sense? Yeah, Webster.
Deplore, the act of cold, clammy hands touching genitals.
Warm
genitals.
Warm. Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Kevin?
Yeah.
Here's someone who's seen the carrot scene.
Ah.
Yeah, I saw it on Letterman the other night.
Ah. Good. Oh, do you know what movie it's really from?
No, I was just going to say it's not from Hercules Goes to New York, because I've seen that too. I don't know where that carrot scene is from. I mean,
they might have a secret stash then, of Arnold.
I don't know. I don't know where Letterman's getting it from, but I hope he's got more of it.
I'm not doing it justice describing it. How great is the scene with Arnold sliding the carrot into the girl's mouth?
I don't even have the words, Don. I mean, it's the goddamn funniest thing I've ever seen.
I gotta see it.
I think it's deplorable.
That's deplorable.
It's pretty good. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Hey, first Mike, happy Stocktober.
Yeah.
That's a bad crank call.
He did say please.
He's funny, though.
Yeah, he is.
Someday, we'll live in a society where that call can get on the air.
No, I doubt it. Not when we're alive.
Bob.
Hey, Donna, Mike, that clip on Letterman was from a show called After Midnight. It wasn't no Hercules show.
All right, it was called After Midnight. Mike, it wasn't no Hercules show.
It wasn't. It's deplorable.
Deplorable. Absolutely deplorable.
If you guys want to see the clips, I could post them up for you.
Yeah, would you please?
Yeah, they're on eastcoastbob.com.
Is this East Coast Bob?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Very cool.
How you doing? Bob, we haven't talked to you since you called Michael Savage.
Yeah, I've been laying low lately.
He's been in hiding, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Bob, will you put those up on your site?
Yeah, I'll get them up there today.
All right, it's eastcoastbob.com.
Thank you.
You can go see it. It's not a deplorable site.
Very cool.
No, it's not
really
bad.
It's not. And then after you watch them, you feel the you know...
You call clammy
hands
and warm genitals.
All right, thanks, East Coast Bob.
Bye-bye.
All right,
good job.
See you later.
Yeah. You authored that, you poet.
I know.
Well, there's one breaking news story this afternoon.
What is that?
The government's ordered all commercial airplanes in the United States to be searched after box cutters were found on two Southwest Airlines flights. Southwest says notes found with the box cutters indicated the items were intended to make a point about lapses in transportation security. All the planes are to be searched over the next 24 hours. So far, no delays.
So were the box cutters put there by our guys?
Somebody was making a point about the lax airline security and put the box cutters and also some clay-like material.
Just some anonymous
person and a note saying your security's not as good as you think it is, something to that effect.
Right. Yeah, then that's what it's all about. So now they're checking all the planes.
His name is Charles, but close friends call him Charlie, and he's behind bars.
you don't have any Charlie for us today?
Charlie's underground right now.
Right, not,
don't you think?
Not,
thanks, Don. Like you didn't know that.
That's deplorable.
Jesus Christ. Cold, clammy hands touching warm genitals.
We'll be right back. Stand by, bud.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Time to polish the peanuts. Time for Don and Mike.
Yeah, we're the Dean's Peanuts.
Yeah, baby.
Here's Buzz Burbank. Hi, Gus.
Hi, Don and Mike. Whether it was his fault or not, the Cubs' fortune took a turn for the worse after a fan caught a foul ball in this year's National League playoffs. And now, they're talking about making a movie on the subject.
Oh, come on.
Oh, and wait till you hear. I'm glad you didn't see this in the paper today.
Right. Yeah.
Who has been signed to play the lead?
They've already signed somebody to play the lead.
Variety says the studio has already accepted a pitch for a movie tentatively titled Fan Interference. King of Queens star Kevin James would play the fan.
What? Yeah, well, onward and upward.
My God.
The studio's already had such quality hits as Triple X, Anger Management, and Geely.
Wow, unbelievable.
Well, Triple X was not that bad.
Well, it didn't do that well at the box office.
You know, the question I would have, would they have to pay the kids some money?
This was a generic idea.
Yeah, it'll be a similar story.
It has been in development. Now they've chosen this time to announce it because it probably won't be.
It won't be the exact same storyline, though,
No,
not it's at all. Just a guy who interferes in
kind
the game.
Kind of goofy, crazy.
Yeah.
Gives Kevin James a chance to explore his dark side a little bit.
A guy who catches the ball and thinks, you know, maybe I should get a better hair plug job.
Fan interference.
Here's where we find out just how far Bruce Willis will go.
And you know, I don't mean that. I don't have any bad feelings at all towards Kevin James. No. He was always kind of, you know, down the middle with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we shouldn't pick on people that are follically challenged, should we, Rob?
I wish you. How you doing, Baldy? Take back that comment about Kevin.
Yeah.
However, goes double for Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa Remedy.
Yeah. You're no friend of ours anymore.
But she's an old school, too. I'll look for you in the deleted scene section.
Oh, God.
That's where I saw you in the first one.
Wow.
That's where your best work was, honey.
Fantastic.
Well, here's where we find out just how far Bruce Willis will go. Because his ex-wife, Demi Moore, has accepted a marriage proposal from that 70s show actor, Ashton Kutcher.
Now, are you ready to go back on your original theory that this is just a ruse, that this is all staged for his reality show?
I still maintain
that this is a fake romance.
That this is for Punk. And think about this. No, I could be wrong.
Right.
But, like Rush, I could be right. Have you heard anything about the show Punked in the last, for like 6 months ago?
No. Yeah.
It was the hottest effing thing. They did that thing to Justin Timberlake.
Still on the air, though, right?
In reruns.
Right.
New season starts very soon.
So you think that's when they're going to reveal it?
I still think the whole thing's a gag.
Okay.
Well, Demi says she would like Bruce to give her away at the altar on Valentine's Day in the same city where Demi and Bruce married when Ashton was 9 years old.
See, now, why would Bruce Willis do this unless he's in on the gag?
Or do you think maybe they're going to punk Bruce Willis?
Ooh.
No, because then you're talking about an ex-wife, and allegedly Bruce Willis and Demi Moore have a good relationship with their kids, Hibachi and Kleenex. And
do you think, seriously, at any time during that, when they actually do, if they go through with that at any time cold, clammy hands will touch warm genitals?
Wow.
She's 41, Ashton's 25. Demi is closer in age to Ashton's mother than she is to him. If New Republic magazine has any Jewish subscribers, it's probably going to lose them. The senior editor, in his column, said the producers of Tarantino's new movie, Kill Bill, are, quote, Jewish executives who worship money above all else.
Wow.
End quote. Criticizing the violence
of
the film.
Who said this, Bob?
This was the senior editor of New Republic magazine, Greg Easterbrook.
I'm totally offended, and I think that they should be called on the carpet for that.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
What's wrong with a motion picture making a few dollars?
I don't understand, and I resent the stereotype.
It's completely
out of hand.
Chris. But I want nothing to do with this Kevin James movie.
I mean, he's an
unlikable star. The woman he works with, oh my God, she's a bitch on wheels. Who's that hot young star? Get me George Lopez.
George Lopez is the next big thing. I think it'll be fantastic. See you Sunday morning.
I'll see you then. 11 a.m.?
11 a.m. on AMC.
That's an inside tip for us.
Okay. Yes,
to all of you listening right now, I know Sunday's a busy day. I know some of you who are not in our particular religion, perhaps, actually go to church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Set your VCR, set your TiVo.
Yes, I believe it's the Sunday morning shootout.
11 a.m. Uh-huh. on American Movie Classics.
You learn all about films and the business behind them.
Very good. Criticizing the violence.
Money makes the world go round. Watch the show and then call us and tell us that we're despicable.
Very good.
And then we'll tell you to
deplorable.
Deplorable. Take your cold, clammy hands and put them on your warm genitals.
Criticizing the violence in the film, Greg Easterbrook claims he was trying to say that Disney and Miramax are, quote, wallowing in gore
for profit.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
Disney's chaired by Jewish Michael Eisner, and Miramax by the Jewish Harvey Weinstein.
And what's wrong with that?
Is there something wrong with that? No, I don't think so.
Not a thing. I'm just simply explaining who was offended.
You go ahead, explain away.
Now Easterbrook's apologizing for his stereotyping. He says he regrets the way he made his point, but he says he's prepared to defend what he was saying.
Stupid goy.
In his column.
Easterbrook. Do I have to draw you a map? Easterbrook. Thank you. Case closed.
Maybe you tuned in.
See you Sunday at 11.
Maybe you tuned in for the West Wing Wednesday night, only to find it wasn't there. Same with Friends last night. That was NBC's way of saying we're not going to waste new episodes of big shows on an audience that's mostly watching baseball. CBS did the same thing with CSI. Turns out the playoffs were more popular than expected, at least TV executives at all the networks expected, including the network that aired the games. The deciding game of the Cubs-Marlins series was seen by nearly 27 million people, making it the highest-rated league championship game in over 10 years.
Wow.
Quoting a CBS spokesman, this is clearly wreaking havoc with the rollout of our new season. Never mind that the networks didn't bother to warn their viewers about the reruns.
I did not affect Arliss.
No.
Arliss was on the air.
Yeah, Arliss is always on the air. Unfortunately.
They canceled Arliss.
Yeah.
But Arliss is still on HBO every other day.
HBO's having some problems now. Their new shows are not doing what they expected.
Carnival.
No. Suckyball.
They got to pray that The Sopranos comes back strong in March.
Right.
Frida was watching the other day. And she said, oh, look, Sex and the City. And I said, you see, you're being fooled.
Yeah.
They're saying new season. It's six. They got like six left.
Six
right,
left. Right.
Six
exactly.
Episodes left.
January,
and then
I tried. I was excited about Carnival, and I wanted a long time with it, and I just haven't been able to jump into it.
It's ethereal.
Yeah.
In sports.
It's a what buzz?
I don't know. In sports.
Something about Colt claiming here.
Dewey wins. The New York Post has a lot of explaining to do. It ran an editorial today about why the Yankees lost to the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, my God.
The paper had prepared two versions of a story about the deciding game of the American League series and printed the wrong story.
I'll drink to that.
Quoting an editor, someone pushed the wrong button.
Duh.
A quarter of a million copies were distributed before the mistake was corrected. Quoting the editor again, there will be some discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it's the weekend. There'll be drinking. Lots.
That's right.
There'll be lots of drinking. Some of you have already started.
Uh-huh.
But none of you are likely to catch up with Willard Ashley of Hudson Lake, Indiana.
Oh, Willie Ashley.
The 32-year-old man was admitted to the hospital this week with a blood alcohol content of
0.69%. Wow.
That's
Jeez.
Right. 0.69% is about nine times what most states consider legally drunk.
What's his name again?
This was Willard Ashley.
I love him on the Today Show. When he does the Smucker's thing.
Yeah. I like the 100-year-old birthdays.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I never knew he was a drunk.
Well, actually, he says he has had an alcohol problem. He goes to AA meetings now. That's true.
You know what I say?
Willard Scott does.
He's brave. And, well, no, Willard Scott,
right.
Of course. You're right.
Yeah.
He's brave. If you get really involved in that, it requires a tremendous amount of... Cabbage was like, Wilma, I'm in rehab.
Little blues.
I have the cabbage in my Cohiba box. And after I get the blues and give you the cabbage, my cold hands, my cold flesh will touch my warm genitals.
My cold clammy hands.
My cold clammy hands
will touch my warm genitals. You wrote it.
I didn't write it, I just said it.
I know, that's writing too.
Willard Ashley may be going to those meetings too. Quoting a police captain, it's hard to get your alcohol count that high because most people are going to pass out before that.
So like if you get pulled over, what is it? What is it?
0.08.
Right, 0.08.
That can kill.
Ross, beware!
Live and learn.
0.08, Rob.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, that's it. We got
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show. That was a moment.
Oh, yes, it was.
You know, that's the perfect defense, incidentally, for that stupid fan that just put his hands up and caught the ball.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you shouldn't have said it. Like, it was a fact you knew.
Well,
but
yeah.
You couldn't help it. You just do it. 0.8!
0.08.
0.08.
There you
whatever
go.
It was.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. We'll see you Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Go Red Sox, Tom.
Yes. And you.
Oh, my checkered pad.
You. I'll see your eighth.
Yeah.
And I'll raise you.
65%.
Goodbye.
BM.
Eaters.
So we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.